every year I innovate new stuff. Every year I take all feedback from the previous year and I try and use that to help me the following year. Now, when I was starting out of this, my innovations were all pretty simple. Because they revolved around basically getting me laid. No offense to any of you, basically back then couldn't give a fuck whether you guys got laid or not, I just wanted to get laid myself. And so I started out and I developed this idea of social circle game. So back in 2006, long before any of these other guys had started like calling it now and kind of bringing it out, I came up with the idea of bringing large groups of women out, using it for social circle, and using that to develop my own. That was before I was a constructor. In 2007, I was recruiting people further, and I came up with a very simple formula for attraction. It was something that, again, helped me. It made my life easier. I could remember the formula of attraction. I could remember what worked and what didn't work. And that definitely gave me an edge with understanding where I was in an interaction and what to do. In 2008, I released something called the Metagame. The Metagame was all about how you can understand an interaction and outgame other pickup artists. Because every other pickup artist on the planet was like, Adam's number three in the world. Watch, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to take his girl or whatever. And so I had to outgame these other guys. 2009, last year, I was concentrating on working. You're right, Alex. In 2009, things changed. I got married. I got settled down. The game ended for me, and I wanted to come up with something different, something new to teach in 2010. I realized that I no longer was coming at this from the same position as every other PUA in the world. This kind of showed in the way that I was received. I was very nervous. I got married in July last year, and the voting, I don't know if you guys know what happened, the January votes come out for who's going to be the best pickup artist in the world, and I honestly thought that was it. I thought I was done for. I hit number two the year before. I thought that was going to be, where it would end. Because I thought, who wants to learn from some guy who just managed to marry some hot chick, right? You guys wouldn't really care about that. I was rocked when I got voted on four different lists as being number one in the world. With the exception of the Seduction Bible, who made me number one dating coach, which, I was over the moon about. And it made me rethink, rethinking. I don't want to teach game the same way I used to. Because I think I was coming at it from a point of view of me. I was teaching my game, what got me laid. And you guys aren't me. For a start, you can't go into a supermarket in America and go, "Hello there, I'm terribly sorry, I'm looking for the bathrooms, you happen to know where they are?" And have the girl go, "You're from England." You can't do that, right? I mean, you can, you can, I know you can. But some of you guys can't pull it off, because it's not you. You need something that works for you. So over the last 5 months, I've changed what I'm teaching. And instead, I'm analysing my students, I'm looking at my students, I'm going, what gets them results? And I'm very happy, I'm very proud of the fact that for the last 6 months, we have guaranteed closes on our bootcamps. Guaranteed. On day one of the bootcamp, every single student, with the exception of maybe three guys in the last 6 months, have managed to get some kind of a close on day one of the course. Consistently. These aren't accidents. These are happening specifically to the point I'm calling it in advance. I've got a whole bunch of my students here. If they give me a hear, for those who are on this bootcamp this weekend. All those guys this weekend got close on day one of the course, right? And that's because I'm not looking at it from the same point of view anymore. I'm not looking at it from a guy who's thinking, how can I get laid? I'm analysing, how can you get laid? What are the mistakes you guys are making? What should you be doing differently? I don't want to create mini Adams. I want to create a bunch of guys that are yourselves and they're getting good. I also want to do this in the same thing that I've been known for a very long time. I grew up in one of the most poor parts in England. It was a very poor area in London, it was a very dangerous area, and we had no money. I know what it's like to wake up, go out and see my mum, and have my mum tell me, "Hey Adam, just so you know, there's no dinner tonight. We've got a packet of biscuits and you can have half of it." Like, that happened to me. I've been in that situation. So, despite the fact that I've kind of grown in terms of being recognised around the world, I'm refusing to grow my prices. This is very important for you guys, because not only am I not going to grow my prices, I'm going to do something even better. And I am going to attempt to teach you a form of game that can be taught in just 1.5 hours. I am hoping to teach you guys today an entire method that is designed for you, where you can learn how to game from zero to getting some solid results in about 1.5 hours. This will be completely contained. I have no interest in teaching you some calculus, mathematical theory that will help you escalate a girl with one arm into a threesome with two lesbian strippers. I'm not going to say, no, nothing complicated. I'm not going to teach about ultimate, mega, underscore, loop theory. I'm going to teach you some real basic, simple shit that can get you good very fast. This is a two-way street. I'm going to give this to you, I ask that you go out there and use it. That is it. That's all I want in return. I don't want money, I don't want you to sign up for any of my boot camps. Honestly, if I see you on one of my boot camps, I'm fucked up because it didn't work. So I don't really want to see you there, I want you to take this, I want you to use it, and I want you to make it work. Now, as such, this is not the usual stuff that I teach. In fact, you will not have heard this before. This is a brand new talk, and it's the one I'll be working on this year to help people over this year in all of the different summits. You're getting the first early preview version. So, you guys don't know this, but my early preview versions tend to be a little bit haphazard. I tend to get a little bit confused in them because I'm trying to remember where everything is, and I swear a lot. Sorry. But that doesn't matter. In New York, I figure that's kind of okay for most of you guys. So, I'm going to teach you about a very specific kind of game, and it starts from a simple story where I first analyzed this myself. You start with me and my wife, my girlfriend at the time, walking through Leicester Square in London. Now, I don't know if you guys know this. Raise your hands if you've read the game. Yes, I figured. Cool. All right. In the game, Tyler Durden goes somewhere very specific to learn a very specific skill. You guys remember this? He goes to Leicester Square in London, and he decides he's going to learn how to aimwalk. Now, I practice in Leicester Square in London. All of my metagame stuff is how to out-aimog people that are aimogging. Because people like Tyler Durden would come to Leicester Square to try and screw over the poor PUAs hanging around the Leicester Square practicing. So we needed a way to deal with them and counteract them. And some very big names did try to come to Leicester Square and they all failed. Because we had a skill to deal with it. But there are another group of people in Leicester Square that practice game. The reason that Tyler actually came there. Naturals. Guys who are not part of the community. Guys who have not learned game the same way the rest of us have. They are just naturally good at picking up women, and they practice. And so that's where our story starts. With myself, my girlfriend at the time, my wife, walking through Leicester Square. As we're walking there, this guy comes up to me. Yo, dude, what's up, man, what's up? Love your hair, bro, love your hair. He's a big black guy. All of the naturals in Leicester Square are big black men. They are really fucking big. They are really fucking scary. And they are really fucking natural. Guy looks up to me and he opens me. Here is lesson one of what we're teaching you today. If you have a group and it's mixed, you always open the guy. Standard stuff, most of you probably know this. But it's important here because me and my girlfriend, pretty tight. We got married. He managed to go up to, I'm currently third best in the world, and he got in talking to me, which gave me permission to talk to my partner. So he comes up to me, yo, dude, I love your hair. Gives me a compliment. Compliment openers are great when you're talking to a guy. You can learn a whole bunch of complicated techniques, or you can just learn to give guys compliments. They respond really well to it. Some big dude, looks big, you don't look so big, goes, dude, man, I need to know, man. Creating protein. What the fuck? What are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah, what are you doing? Exactly, right? Fucking tell me. The guy's getting a big spring. He's gonna go,
no, you're spinach, man.
Or whatever he's gonna tell you. So you write that shit down. The guy thinks you're the coolest guy ever, right? So that's what this guy did. And then he instantly shifts to talk to my girlfriend. And I think, well, I can act gay. I think I could just pull my girlfriend away. Fuck, there's about 1,000 different things I could probably do. Or I could watch. And learn. And I decided to watch. I allowed this guy to go with my girlfriend to watch what he would do. So he starts talking to her. And he's like, yo, damn, pretty girl! Sup? She sort of looks at me, she's like, hey. And he goes, yo, I gotta tell you, you are the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, aggressive, compliment opener. Alright, so here he goes. He transitioned off from me to her. And then he says to her, Yeah, you know what? Me and my friends, we're going to a nightclub. You should come with us. My wife's like, no, thank you. So he got well with the compliment, she started talking to him. But then, goes to the nightclub, he said no. And he goes, oh, okay. You got friends? What are your friends up to? She goes, I got friends. She goes, okay, what are you doing tonight? And the guy's like, she's like, oh, I don't really know what we're doing tonight. We're probably going to get some ice cream. She goes, Lao ice cream, man. Ice cream's not good. Come to the nightclub, share a good time, get some free alcohol. Brilliant, come with me. She's like, no, I don't think it. She goes, okay, you like coffee? She's like, yeah, I like coffee. He goes, cool, let's go get coffee then. Let's go get coffee. Come on, let's go get coffee. She goes, no, I don't think so. I'm going with my husband. We're going to go get some ice cream. He goes, God, I'm going to be straight with you. I'm going to set you straight. I like you. I like the way you look. I like your style. I'll tell you something. I've got money, girl. There's these contacts back in Jamaica. We make so much money. We travel around. I think you could be somebody. I think I want to make you a model, like a star. Have you ever heard of Britney Spears? You heard of her? We're making bigger than her. Come, it's great. It's going to be awesome. We love this shit. And my wife's like listening to this and she goes, no, thank you. She says, we're going to go get ice cream. He goes, look, come now, come. Let's just go. Let's go to the nightclub. Come Metro. Come on. Come to Metro nightclub. Come with me. She said, no, I don't think so. And about that point, I'm like, all right, he's had enough. Yeah, she's knocked it back a couple of times. So I'm like, okay, dude, listen, we're going to go and get some ice cream, man. It's a real pleasure meeting you. The guy's like, for real, man. He goes, listen, you got a good one there, man. Your girl, she ain't going to leave you. Good job. And then I say to him, mate, I've got to ask you. I need to know this. What do you do for a living? He goes, for real? Yeah, man, for real. He goes, I'm a security guard at the bank. And he walks up. And what I loved about that was it reminded me of all the guys I used to grow up with. Like, so I grew up in a pretty bad area in London. And the area I grew up with, all my friends were either black or Indian or came from some kind of ethnic minority. I was the ethnic minority at my school. I was one of three white kids in my year. Like, there's not many of us. And these guys realized, I think one of the reasons I'm not very, or I wasn't very good at the game growing up, was I was surrounded by all these guys, which was natural. And I remember thinking, I'm never going to be good. How am I going to get tall, big, and black? Like, that ain't going to happen. It's not going to get good. Like, ain't going to happen. And it made me realize that maybe there was something to this. So I started analyzing and breaking stuff down, as I always do. And I discovered a psychological formula, something called foot in the door technique. Now, I'm going to give this a little AKA, and I hope I don't upset anybody, but I'm going to call it black light game. Because the way that they run things, the naturals, is actually a very valid form of game. It's a very good form of game, and I know many, many pickup artists that are outgamed by a black guy who is natural with women. And there's actually a psychological method that is known for getting people to comply with a given action. And this is called foot in the door technique. It's something that salespeople use all the time. And we're going to analyze this from a point of view of game, and then we're going to add in a little bit about closing to kind of give you guys an idea of why it's so important to understand the best way to close. And that will give you a full format that you can follow to actually get good at this and make this happen. So let's start very simply. Foot in the door technique is a sales tactic that's used very simply. Essentially what you do is this. You're a door-to-door salesman and you're selling your Uber. You go up to the door, you go, hello man, you stick your foot in the door. Well, she's opened the door, she now can't close the door. Now, you can talk to her for as long as your foot can stand the pain of being trapped in the door. All you have to do is convince her to let you in the house. Because when you're in the house, it's even harder for her to get you out the door. When you're in the house and you're sitting opposite the woman, you can start escalating. You can start talking about how great the Hoover is. If you're a bloody good salesman, you can stop talking about the Hoover and instead talking about how nice she looks. If you're an incredibly good salesman, you'll be fucking in the bedroom before the husband comes home. That is foot in the door technique taken with a mix of game. So, what we're going to look at are the different ways to do that. Now, first of all, I'm going to talk about a principle, one that my wife taught me. This is actually a very good skill. Amanda is actually known as one of the best female pickup artists in the world. There are some very good reasons for this. One of the biggest... Amanda's fine. One of the biggest is that Amanda actually dressed up like a dude and practiced game. Not a lot of people know this, but I used to work in film prosthetics. I made my wife look like a dude. We sent her out on the streets of London for her to practice game. And she came back with a lot of insights. Because she's one of the only hot chicks in the world that knows what it's like to be an ugly, awkward dude. Well, it's like, she does not make a pretty dude, by the way. Anyone that thinks girls are good, she's not a good-looking guy. I don't know why she is. She just looks like some awkward Brazilian kid. I don't know, it didn't work. Anyway. So, the first thing my wife noticed. Men don't move out of the way for other men. This is a tough lesson for her. Three times she got shoulder barged and knocked to the floor before she says to me, why aren't people moving out of my way? I'm like, well, you're a guy, you have to move out of that. Well, when I'm a woman, people just part ways. I was like, yeah, but now you're an awkward dude. And they're looking at you and they're thinking, you're going to go flying if you shoulder barge me. You need to move out of the way. She goes, well, that's just rude. And I'm like, yeah, it is rude, but that's how it is. Second thing she learned, don't eyeball big men. Now, my wife's a girl, she's walking out of the road, she sees a big, cute guy walking out of the way, she can look at him. The guy looks at her and he goes, the fuck you looking at? And my wife's like, sorry. So she realised the world is kind of a harsh place for an awkward guy that's kind of learning game. But she came up with some really important insights. Some I've been teaching for the last couple of months. The first one is the importance of buying 5 minutes of time. Your job when you open a girl is to buy 5 minutes of her time. There are different ways of doing this. We're going to analyze a few of them now. Whichever way you look at it, you need 5 minutes of her time. I can explain it like this. If you do not successfully appropriate 5 minutes of her time, she's going to say, go fuck yourself. Raise your hand if the girl has ever said, go fuck yourself. Cool, you all failed to get 5 minutes of your time. Everyone else, you don't need to be in the room. So, 5 minutes of their time is very easy for if you can understand some basic ideas behind female interactions. I am going to break some rumors that go around in the community. I'm sorry to be the one to do this. Some of you may disagree with what I'm about to say. Unfortunately, I've got a little bit of evidence to back this up. All the females in the room, please raise their hand. Two, right? They came in with us. We hang around girls. I know a lot of other pickup artists come and do these talks, and they rarely come with girls. I'm not going to say anything about them, I'm just going to say I definitely hang around a lot of women. And I ask women things about game. I want their genuine feedback. There are rumors going around that beautiful women don't have men come up to them and say, you're so beautiful. I just want to let you know you're so gorgeous. That happens to my wife if I leave her alone for 2 minutes in a bar. I always can guarantee it's the same for the other chick next to her, who's smiling and going like this in the back. Yeah? These are... She's actually like, no, you will know. Right? Very simply, women do have men come up to them and say, you are absolutely gorgeous. You're amazing. Funny enough, Nashville's pickup lines have changed over the last year. But there's something a few of you didn't know. Last year, the predominant line that I heard as feedback from girls that I was talking to was guys going up to her and going, hey, beautiful. Hey, darling. Hey, I just want to say you're gorgeous. This year, I've heard a change. This year, when I ask girls that I know what line they get caught up with, they often tell me, hey, who are you here with? To me, that shows progress. The naturals are working out. They need to actually understand the situation first. Because if she says she's here with her husband, no one needs to waste his time. I was talking to a guy the other day who works for the Texas football team, the Texas UT football team, UT Austin, Texas Longhorns. There. He spent half an hour talking to my wife, trying to chat her up while I was off teaching. I come back over to the guy, and he goes, oh my God, is that your wife? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh man, I'm so sorry. I'm like, dude, you don't have to be sorry, man. Like, don't worry about it. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, she's my wife. I trust nothing's going to happen. He goes, no, you misunderstand. I'm sorry. I wasted fucking half hour of my time, man. Fuck. It's funny when it puts it in perspective, yeah? The naturals are blunt. They need to save their time. They need to conserve that. It shows their improvement. But it tells us a lot. It tells us that going up to some random chick and saying, you are the most beautiful girl I've ever seen, you're absolutely amazing, ain't gonna work. Not worded like that, at least. Because they're doing it. Sometimes it'll work, yeah. Sometimes we'll get there. But the majority of the time it won't, because I know the hot chicks are hearing that. What separates you from the next man? There's what? 30, 40, 50 people in this room? What makes you better than you? Why is one of you going to pull it off and the next one not? I need to know. The kind of person I am, I need to know why. Because I don't want to be competing with you. I want to be better than you. I want to be one up. I want to know what words I have to say exactly to get the response. Thankfully, Stanley Milgram helped us out in 1975 with the New York City subway test. Some of you will know this, some of you won't. I'm teaching it now because we're in New York. New York City subway, Stanley Milgram goes on the subway, he's a psychologist, and he says, hey, can I have that seat? What do you think 80% of people said? Roughly 80%. Probably 80% roughly. No. What do you think they said?
No.
That's right. I knew you guys know the answer, you're from New York. They went, fuck no. It's your own seat. That's exactly what they said. Now check this. Stanley Milgram managed to reverse the statistics. He made it so only 20% said no and 80% said yes. What did he do? He added a justification, a reason for why he needed to sit down. He said, can I have that seat? Because my leg hurts. That reason was enough to swap it. You go up to a girl and you give her a big compliment. I just want to say you're absolutely beautiful. You're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. You're like every other natural. You give her a reason for the compliment, she might believe it. Because you're actually defining what it is that sets her apart from everyone else. I'm going to tell you the most amazing compliment I've ever heard given. It's by a big fat man in London by the name of Barry. Barry is quite possibly one of the ugliest men I've ever met. Oh, cheers, dude. Barry is missing half his teeth. Barry smells worse than one of my instructors who hasn't had a shower all weekend while working.
Thanks.
I didn't say Barry was not an attractive guy. My friend Sam is a podium dancer in nightclubs in London. She's stunning. She's the girl that almost everyone in London wants to get with. She's absolutely gorgeous. She's been a backup dancer for Justin Timberlake, etc., etc., etc. She's a hot chick. Sam comes up and talks to me while Barry's next to me. Sam's kind of like used to just ignoring guys. They hit on her all the time. Whatever, whatever, whatever. She is literally the kind of girl most guys would call a 10. Barry sits there and he goes, excuse me, I want to say something to you for just one moment. She kind of like half looks at him and he goes, you obviously are aware that you're incredibly attractive. However, I bet you have no idea why you're attractive. She looks at him. She says, allow me to elaborate just what makes you particularly attractive. You may not be aware of this, but a lot of your elegance and stature comes from the distance between your bust and your pelvic region. That particular distance is elongated on your body. Now, you may not realise that, you may not notice it, or occasionally you may have looked in the mirror and thought, I look a little bit awkward. I'm letting you know that that distance is typically only found in women from South America. Typically, Brazilian women and Latinas from South America will have an extended midriff between their bust and their pelvic region, similar to yourself. However, you have the appearance of a girl who's potentially from France or Russia or something of Eastern European origin, except for the dark hair. The mixture of those two things combined give you mixed heritage, although I suspect that you never even anticipated the fact that you have mixed heritage. So what I presume is that somewhere in your past, give me a spin if you would. He spins her around and she starts with a fucking tutu like this. He goes, allow me to confirm. Yes, I think that that's what it is. Somewhere in your heritage, you have a mixture of backgrounds, and that has come to culminate in you being exceptionally attractive. And my name is Barry, nice to meet you. She jumped in his lap and was like, I'm sad! The whole time. She loved it. She just sucked his dick then and there and grasped for it. He had a reason for why she was hot. He wasn't just like, damn girl, you're fine. Dad, can I get your number? Hey girl, can I get your number? He wasn't doing that. He had a reason for everything. And it occurred to me, all these naturals I saw, when they hit it off, when it worked, they weren't just going, damn girl, you're fine. They were picking something out. They were saying, hey, you know what, I just want to say, your hair is absolutely gorgeous. The way it works with that jacket or over your fine body, it really works. It makes you very attractive. You've got a sleek figure. There are these reasons for what they were saying. The reasons were the key. If we look at Stanley Milgram, you can see that that's actually a massive part of it. Those reasonings, those justifications for that compliment made it work. You want a girl 5 minutes of time? Give her a compliment, but give her a reason for why. That's going to make it work. Now, there are other ways to do this, but unfortunately, in the short time that we have available, I don't have that much time to go through the different ways you can buy a girl's 5 minutes of time. There are other ways, but if you want one that's going to work and work fast, that's the way to do it. Now, the key element of these naturals, the key thing that all of them have, the key thing that sets them apart, is they escalate fast. Real fast. I'd like to demonstrate this. Do I have two people that would randomly like to volunteer? One and two. Perfect. You guys come up here. Thank you guys so much. What's your name?
Ben.
Adam, nice to meet you, man. And
it's Mike.
Mike, nice to meet you. English.
Yeah.
Awesome.
See, he can pull it off.
Oh, yeah. Just about to go. Walk around meeting, going, thanks, I'm lost.
I do also.
Yeah, easy.
There's a pass through one, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's killer. All right. We have two guys here. Okay, it's very important. I need you to stand next to each other for a second. Very, very important. I need you to not punch each other. Is that okay?
Sure enough, man.
Perfect, cool. Can you give me a kiss on the cheek?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay.
Okay. They weren't that comfortable about that, were they? You see that? That was it didn't really connect, it was a bit awkward. I have to preface, don't hit him. Because the last point I did is, one guy was an MMA guy, and he goes, bam, and elbow grabbed the chin. And I kid you not, it was awesome. So, obviously, it's sad, right? So, you didn't get hit, it's good. Okay, that didn't happen. He went straight in for a kiss, and it didn't happen. Now we're going to make it happen. Very simple. The trick is to escalate it. You go straight into the kiss, you're not going to pull it off. So you start off with just a simple shake hands because you guys haven't met each other before. Yeah, there you go. They've met each other. This is the first part of the escalation. That's the buying 5 minutes of time. What about like a bro hug? You know, when you like the bro handshake, you grab each other, and then you pull each other in here. What's up, bro? We've got a hug now. We're one step further. Before, there was barely any touching. Now we've got that. Okay, this one, the Christian side hug. Now that works. So you hug each other by the side and you leave room for the Lord in between you.
Nice.
Cool. Christian line up, right? Awesome. Now from this hug, stay in that hug just for a second. Now you can go to a full-on hug around the front. Just like buddy, good old buddies, kiss him on the cheek.
Okay.
Yeah, one more time, do it this time, just on the cheek. Okay, hug first, kiss. Okay, pull back, get this story over. We're going to make out. Watch it. High five. Pull in. Hug. Go for a side hug, front hug, kiss on the cheek. A real kiss on the cheek. That's it. Yes. Pull, hug, kiss on the cheek. Like, two dudes don't really want to kiss each other on the cheek. It's a little bit awkward, and some sometimes get awkward in the face. However, in front of you, when we build up in escalation, we can get there. I want you to notice something very important. The first time I told him to kiss him on the cheek, the second time I told him to kiss him on the cheek, when they were hugging, he pulled away. He didn't go for it. He almost did it, but he didn't. You know what that is? That's an objection. And objection is very important. Because when you're escalating somebody, you're going to hear objections. And when you get an objection, you need to know how to deal with it. Now, when me and my wife were walking down the road, and this particular natural was talking to my wife, he said to me specifically, he said, yo, girl, let's go to a nightclub. She said no. And then he said, okay, do you like coffee? He changed his plan of attack. He made everything a little bit smaller and then escalated it up again. And this is a very simple escalation process that I want to teach you guys. Because it's how you deal with objections. In a perfect world, you'd high-five every chick, pull her in for a Christian slider, give her a full hug, kiss her on the cheek, make out with her, take her home, have sex with her, and then fuck her up the bar, take a video of it, slap her on YouTube. But in the real world, it's going to be slower. There's going to be some objections. She's going to, I don't know if I want to go on YouTube. Then you go, I'll get rich. Okay, there's going to be objections. And you're going to work out how to deal with it. And then you can be like, okay, well, look, now it's on RedTube. Who cares? But on YouTube, right? Okay. Then you can build it up. So you're going to have to learn how to do that. So that's what I'm going to take you through. So you buy your 5 minutes of time. You've got the girl willing to listen to you. While we're talking about that, I'm going to talk about the problem with negging. How many of you open with an egg? Raise your hand, be honest. There's a few. Okay. There's an issue with opening with an egg. When you open with an egg, you are insulting the girl. Essentially, that's what you do. This chick, now, when I first started in 2006 and I said this to people, they hated me. Like, whole room people said, who opens with next? The whole hand's gone. I've been petitioning against this for a very long time, and I know it's working and there's less and less people do it, but I really want to, the last few hands are going to disappear over the next year, so I'm going to help you out. Opening with a neck does something very important. It puts you in the position of basically a power. You're saying, I am important enough to judge you for looking like that. Now, if she perceives herself as of a lower power than you, if she perceives her view as less important than yours, or if she has a need to prove you wrong, she's going to jump on that and defend herself. If, however, she's of a calm state of mind, if she's very comfortable with herself and aware that she's incredibly hot, she'll tell you to go fuck yourself. Because she doesn't need rude people in her life. I know this because I hung around those kind of girls. Those kind of girls tend to be very well put together, make a good amount of money, they're very confident in who they are, they haven't had guys treat them like shit in the past, and they are literally the kind of woman that you want. My wife is one of those people. You talk to my wife and you use an egg, I guarantee you that's the quickest way for her to completely lose interest in you. We saw this in a demo last week in Vegas. We went out to Vegas and an instructor tried to demo my wife in a boot camp in front of students with an egg. He pulls her up and he gives her a small little neg to try and prove how girls react. She laughed in his face, went, ha, that shit doesn't work on me, fuck you, and left. Leaving him looking like a bit of a fool in front of his students. Right? Negging can have a very bad reaction sometimes. And I'm guessing those of you that use negging have often found that sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes you get a bad reaction. And that's because that girl was socially adjusted, well calibrated, and comfortable with her looks. She needed something else. She needed you to buy 5 minutes of her time in a different way. I'm not saying negging doesn't work, because it does. And there's a place for it. But opening with it is risky, because you have no way of knowing if she is the kind of girl that actually you probably want to be with. And that kind of girl, negging ain't going to work. On the other hand, most of the girls that negging does work on tend to be validation seeking, and tend to cause a little bit more drama as the relationship goes on. So bear that in mind. Okay, you get 5 minutes of this chick time, everything now is about escalation. You need to take it further. In order for you to take it further, you need to know where you're going. What is the end goal? It's no good knowing how to escalate something if you have no idea where you're going. And this is why we're going to talk about the logistics of actually having sex. We're going to talk about planning out from the back to the front. So I'm going to teach you what to do in reverse order. We're going to start at the end. We're going to work back to the beginning. That way you know where you're leading. This black guy, for whatever reason, he knew he needed to get my wife to swim my club. He didn't care how he got there, he just needed to get there. I don't know why. Maybe he had a VIP table, maybe he had alcohol. Who knows? For whatever reason, that was his goal. I'm guessing when he was there, he knew where he was going next. You need to know where that next place is. So those of you with pens and papers, those of you that actually care about doing this, I want you to write down on your paper where you can actually have sex with a girl. Some of you, it can be your apartment. Great. Some of you live with your parents. Uh-oh. I had a student, he goes to me, Adam, I've used your stuff, look, it's great. I can get bright, I can get makeouts, I can't have sex with them, man. I know it's such a wrong. And I analyze this game, I watch it, I'm like, dude, you are good, man. Like, everything about you is good, I don't get it. I analyze this game, like, 4 hours, I'm like, everything you're doing is perfect, man. I don't get it. I'm like, just say no, oh, well, I live with my parents. Oh, that's your problem, man, that's not my fault. Like, but your games are working, you live with your parents, move out. So you need to know where you can have sex. And you really want more than one location. For example, I know I'm going to have sex when I was single. My options are my house or her house. And the VIP area in the nightclub that my friend owned. They were the three places I could do it. So in any conversation with this chick, I had to aim to get her back to one of those three places. So my game involved walking her through as many different things as I can and escalating it until we reach one of those three. So I want you to plan out your final location and know where it is. That is the goal. You have to get her there. You are going to escalate on two levels. One is logistically, the other is your game. People don't realize this, but your logistics will fuck you up 50% of the time. When you get good at game, your logistics actually are more important than your game. Because if your logistics aren't handled, you ain't going to make it happen. You can work all the angles you like, but if your logistics aren't handled, you're in trouble. And I want to give you an example. We organize private residential courses in our house in Austin. People can come and live with us for a week at a ridiculously cheap rate if we like you, and we will train you up for a week. It's a bargain deal that we only offer ex-students and actually only students that we like. That's why you haven't seen us advertised anyway. This course is specifically for people we like. So I had this guy who comes out and I'm training with him 2 weeks ago. The guy's training me, and he's doing really well with his chick. And I decided, as a present for him, I'm going to solve all of his logistical problems. Imagine having the number one pickup artist in the world handle your logistical problems. You'd think, that's fucking amazing, right? And I thought, yeah, this is a really good present for this guy. I'm going to do this. So I go up to him, and I take the battery out of his phone when he ain't looking. Then I go up to his girl. They're already talking to each other, they're already kind of flirting. I'm like, hey babe, listen, we're going to bounce in a cab. My friend doesn't know his address. So would you mind just making sure that you write it down for me and tell him, I live at, right. See you later, okay, bye. And leave. So I leave the dude with no battery in his phone, so no way of knowing my phone number, and a girl who has no way of remembering where I live. But it's her responsibility to get harder. From a logistical point of view, it's kind of perfect. She's going to feel the responsibility to get home. She can find back to her place. They've been flirting, making out. Sex is guaranteed. Now the problem with this is that in actuality, no matter how good you are, there's always this 20% I'm going to fuck you up factor that you don't know about. So the next day, the student walks in at 10 a.m. And I'm like, hey, you owe me coffee. Come on. How are you doing? I'm fucking amazing. You know I got you late. And he goes, dude, it didn't happen. And I'm like, what the fuck? But I know your game's good enough. And I handled all your logistics. He goes, no. You handled my logistics until we got back to our house. Then there were problems. I'm like, dude, what problems? You know, she brings you back to my house, what's the issue? He goes, dude, she's got a dog. I'm like, okay. He goes, I'm allergic to animals. I'm like, alright, come on, let's not have that. Take your Claritin or whatever and you'll be fine, right? I'm like, it's okay. This dude was a great thing. I'm like, okay. He goes, I come in the house, the dog pins me to the floor. He starts licking me everywhere. And then he gets angry at me. He says, dog don't like me, man. The dog's barking at me, giving me these evil eyes. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, not that bad, right? He goes, dude, she sleeps in the same room as the dog. And I'm like, Okay, well, you know what? The dog will fall asleep during the night, or maybe he can lock it outside the door. He goes, it's not really a problem. What do you mean? He goes, she doesn't live alone. I'm like, okay. He goes, she sleeps with a 4-year-old daughter, dude. I'm like, oh. I'm like, keep it still, man. Single moms, like, they still need to get their rocks off, dude. She's going to be in her bedroom. You'll be in the bed. He goes, no. The 4-year-old daughter sleeps in the same bed as the mom. I'm like, okay. Why? And he goes, oh. Because her husband still lives at home. Okay. It's basically cool, they're separated. He sleeps in the other bedroom, the daughter's bedroom, with his girlfriend. And I'm like, okay. So let me get this straight. The chick that I set everything up for you have to sleep in the same bed as her and her 4-year-old daughter in the same room as Big Great Dane, while her husband, who she still was married to, slept in the next door bedroom with his girlfriend. I was like, well, still, that's okay, right? You know, it's not that bad. He goes, dude, she's a lesbian. I'm like, what the fuck? How is she a lesbian? He goes, dude, she's a lesbian. Like, dude, she made out with you. He goes, she did it just to see if she's still like men. I'm like, okay. Alright. And he goes, I was like, well, did they get anything? He goes, yeah, she tried to give me a handjob. I'm like, she tried to give you a handjob? He goes, well, yeah, I made her stop. I'm like, why? He goes, I was worried about my splooge getting on the daughter. Guys, you cannot handle all your logistics. But the more of them you handle, the better. Yeah? The more of your logistics you handle, the better it's going to be. So you need a plan. And the way I like to think of it is you want to think about your game escalating in two ways. On one hand, you're escalating your logistics. You know that you're going to balance her through a number of certain logistical things until you're back in her house. And hopefully, she's not married with a daughter and dog, etc., etc. On the other hand, you're going to escalate your game. Now, this is important because as long as one of them hits, you'll find yourself in a certain situation. Either she will be madly attracted to you, desperately trying to fuck you, but you'll have nowhere to go and do it. She may then help that happen. She may have suggestions you haven't thought of, or you can arrange it for another day, if your game is good. If your logistics is out, right, she's in your bedroom, the lights are off, music's playing, there's a condom under the lamp, you just got to escalate and turn her on a bit. That's still okay. If you get both, you're getting laid. If you get neither, you're nowhere. And if you only concentrate on one, you're going to have a problem. So you need to think about escalating both. So first of all, your logistics have to be planned out. So the end result is where you're going to have sex. You need to know where that is. If you guys are anything like me, you're probably in this room because you're geeks or nerds, and you're kind of like analytical about life. That's a good thing. You can use that for this particular phase. You can grab flowcharts and maps. Just make sure you don't print up on your wall when you bring the chick home. Because you'll read them. And she's like, oh. So when you get the lube out then, you're fine. So you want to make sure that you plan it out, but don't leave it anywhere she's going to see, yeah? If she sees, bring out dental down about 3/4 of the way through. So the easiest way of doing this is to know where you're going. So you've got to bring it to your house. Let's say, we'll use this example, you're going to have sex with her at your house, rather than her house, your house. You know to get her to your house, you're going to have to find a reason to bring her there. Now, why do you need a reason? Well, yes, Stanley Milgram said that you need some kind of reason to make somebody comply with you more. If you want someone to be compliant, you need some kind of reason. And the easiest way of doing that is to have the reason in advance. Rather than trying to bring it to your house and then giving her a reason afterwards, because then you'd be battling getting her to your house. You give her a reason first and she'll go there. Now, a good reason to go to your house is to eat the food that's getting cold. But that begs the question. Where did this food that's getting cold come from? Well, that's easy. The food that's getting cold came from the restaurant that you stopped in at on the way home to get takeaway. Why did you get takeaway? You can need a reason for that. You got takeaway because late at night everyone in there's drunk and you don't want to hang around with the drunks. How did you end up in that place? You must have been hungry. So to have been hungry, you would have had to have left the club to go to that place to get food because you were hungry and didn't want to go home hungry. How do you know she's hungry? Because 2 hours before that, while you're in the club, you start talking about food. Because if you talk to about anybody who's been drinking alcohol about food 2 hours in advance, they will start thinking about food and get hungry. You want to get laid? You got to talk about food 2 hours before you leave the church. That was solving a logistical problem. So now we imagine, you meet this chick, you buy 5 minutes of a time. You start gaming and escalating. From a logistical point of view, you're going to have to keep physically escalating. You're going to start touching. If you don't start touching, you ain't going to go nowhere. You escalate the touches. You turn them into Christian side hugs, into full-on hugs. You kiss her on the forehead. Why do you kiss her on the forehead? Because only two men in a girl's life kiss her on the forehead. Her dad and her boyfriend. And you certainly didn't help your butt to her. So, you kiss her on the forehead. You kiss the side of her head. You kiss down her cheek. You make out with her. You're escalating the kisses. These are all logistical things that you're doing. You then talk about food. Man, I know this place does the best late night burritos. Kill for burrito right now. You hungry? You're not hungry. No, man. If you were, this place is the best. Burritos, they're so good. I'm thinking about it, like, where you get that meat in the burritos. They're so much fun, man. I just love them, yeah. Especially when I'm hungry. Like, you drink all that alcohol and all you want is a nice, greasy burrito. 2 hours later, at the end of the class, you're hanging out with her and all her friends, and you're like, man, I'm gonna bounce. Let's go. She goes, okay. Like, I don't know if you're... I'm hungry, I kind of fancy something. Do you fancy some greasy food? She goes, yeah, I do. I just got this weird craving for fried burritos. I know this place! I was telling you about it earlier. You'll love it. Let's go and grab some burritos. Okay, we bounce from the club. You go to get the burritos from this place. You go in there, make it the rowdiest, awkward place. Everyone's drunk. And you go, hey, you know what? Hey, buddy, just order the food for her. Don't ask her. Just here. What do you want? She goes, I want a vegetable burrito or whatever. Okay, great. Hi, mate, we'll have a vegetable burrito and a chicken burrito to go, please. She goes, to go? You're like, yeah, trust me, this place is crowded, drunk, there's nothing to fight if you stay all night. I don't have something to spill something else. And it's a great place around the corner, it's warm, it'll be great. Justify it. I didn't say you're going to come back to my house so I can bone you. I said, we're going to go somewhere nice and warm, it's not far. You get the burrito, you take the cheek, you've got it to go. Uh-oh, you better get somewhere nice and warm before that burrito gets hot. Anyway, this is going. Come on, quick, off we go, you take me to your apartment. You take me to the house, you have the music playing in your house, you turn it on, you sit down, you eat your burrito, you continue gaming. She's now logistically in the venue that you need to do something. Well done. Now that's your logistical escalation for that particular environment. What if, I promise you guys I'm going to give you a full inclusive thing, what if you live with your parents? Taking them back home ain't the best. Okay? I know that, because my instructor's trying to bring home girls at 4 a.m. when I'm sleeping in the same room. Not happy. Yeah? So, you need a reason to go back to their place. Now, there are a number of ways to do this. One of the best I've found is the fact that cookies need an oven. So, guess what you need to do? Talk about cookies. Cookies are great, because they're quick to make, and they taste great on alcohol. All you have to do is get her out of the shop and go, hey, you know what, we should have some cookies. And in this place, it gets like the best cookie mix. You take the girl out, you grab the cookies. And you go, now what we need to do is find somewhere to make them. You've already bought them. You're standing next to the chick in the supermarket with a packet of cookies in your hand. And now you make it her problem. When you tell her to cook her. And she's like, oh, we can't go back to yours? Now I've got friends of mine. Do you have an oven? She goes, yeah, great, let's go. You assume. She says she's got an oven, but she can cook the cookies. Bada boom, bada bing, done. You go back to her place, you eat the cookies, you're now in her place with cookies, and as long as she doesn't have a great day and a daughter, husband, an ex-girlfriend, whatever, crap, you're fine. Hopefully. The logistical plan that I did for my friend, there is nothing to stop you doing that for your wingman. Someone said to me once, what is a good wingman? A good wingman isn't somebody that occupies the target. A good wingman is someone who puts sex on a plate for you. You want to help your wingman get laid? Kill all his ability to take her back to his. Make it so he has to go back to hers. If you know that he lives with parents, you can set the layout for him. I've helped one of my students get a phone number before. One of the easiest ways that I do it is I just turn around to the student and I'm like, hey dude, get my number for me and leave. It's the student's issue to get the number. It's already been set up. You can do it for your wing. You're like, hey buddy, do me a favor, man. I'm going to take her friend away. We're going to go over there and grab a drink. Keep her occupied for me or something. You make sure she gets home safe. Done. You isolated one girl away. You told him he has to get her home safe. Done. He's now allowed to take her home. On the way home, what are they going to stop off and buy?
Cookie.
You listen. You guys get it. So there's your logistical problem solved. You know the roadmap to getting laid. Well done. You still got a game on. You still got to turn around. Let's talk about this for a second. Escalation. Escalation is all about taking compliance and growing it to the next level. You start with something small and you grow up. Like the demonstration we did up here. Give him a kiss on the cheek. No way. So we build it up, slowly but surely, until the jump from the meeting to the kiss on the cheek is nothing. They're already hugging, they've already got their arms over each other, their heads are already next to each other's cheeks. It's okay to give them a kiss on the cheek. So, what are you going to have to do to build someone up? You need to know from a game point of view what she needs to go through. So the first thing is you've got to get 5 minutes of her time. Second thing you've got to do is you've got to start getting her to be compliant to you from a physical and a mental point of view. You want her doing things that you suggest. Now, one of the first things you want to do is actually listening to the topics of conversation that you're talking about. One of the best ways of doing that is to find out the topics of conversation she wants to talk about. This is a simple lesson in leadership. If I were to find out that everyone in this room was vegetarian, and I said to you guys, I know this great week in your steakhouse, it'd be great. You guys have to come. It would take a lot of effort for me to convince every single one of you to follow me to that steakhouse. Now, in reality, being a leader isn't about getting everyone to do what I want you to do. It's about leading the whole group. If you're all vegetarians, and I just want to lead you, I'm going to suggest a great vegetarian place. I've assessed and analysed your needs, and then I'm leading you so that we can meet them. If you don't know what the girl wants, you can't lead her. Now, it's not good asking a girl what kind of man she wants and then trying to be it. She doesn't fucking know. Most girls have no idea what kind of guy they actually want. So instead, you need to use the kind of knowledge you have about game and take it from there. So, what you want to do is first of all find out the kind of things she likes doing. If you say to a girl what kind of man you want, she's going to say I want someone who's fun, he's humorous, he's good looking, you know, he's got a great sense of style, and my friends like him. None of that's useful. What you want to know is find out the kind of things she's into. So you say to her, hey, tell me the three most interesting things you like doing in your spare time. You start to get some kind of idea about hobbies. Because if she finds somebody that shares interests with her, suddenly she's got conversation. And that's what you've got to analyze. You need to find that out first so you know the kind of things that she wants to talk about. What if you get an objection? We spoke about this earlier. Objections are actually a great thing. I don't know about you, but I did not join the game to pick up chicks that I could get rid of. I want girls I can't get. I want girls that are going to say to me, there is no way on this planet I'm ever going to fuck you. That's the kind of girl I want. Because I want to know, ha, I got you. I want to know I can. Yeah? The only way you're going to know that is if you deal with these objections when they come up. So if I say to a girl, tell me the three most interesting things that you like doing, she goes, why the fuck should I tell you? I've got an objection. Now, you could be like every other student on the planet that does this and leave. You could suffer from premature ejaculation. Or, you could actually think, how am I going to get around this? The way I like to think of it is with simple hoops. A lot of people talk about hoop theory and what it means. It's basically a psychological term, typically based around sales. The idea is if somebody will spend half an hour talking to you about the kind of car that they want, they're most likely to buy it. And if they won't even enter into a conversation with you about buying a car, there's no point wasting your time. Salespeople will talk about this, you jump through hoops. Every hoop you jump through means you're more likely to eventually buy a car. The same thing we've got here. These two guys here, we put them through hoops. The first hoop is really big. Give them a kiss on the cheek. No, ain't gonna happen. So we get a smaller hoop, shake hands. Well, that's easy, shake hands with everybody. Awesome. Do a buddy hug, okay? Awesome. Do a side hug, that's easy. Do a full hug, that's easy. Kiss his cheek. We build up the hoops from small to big. Tell me three interesting things about yourself. We don't know if that is a small hoop or a big hoop. Some girls will jump through it. Some won't. We have no way of knowing which is which. Doesn't matter. What you guys are going to do is you're going to just throw it out there anyway. Hey, tell me three interesting things about yourself. She says no, now we have to deal with that situation. And the easiest way of dealing with it is by using a very simple system of psychology. We know that she doesn't want to jump through that hoop. And that behaviour was not compliant to us. And we don't like that. So we're going to use a very simple pattern of learning based on operant conditioning. Off-road conditioning involves giving little pellets to mice when they push buttons. Every time they push a button, they get a pellet. That's cool. If I'm hungry, I push a button, I get fed. That is a positive reinforcement. The alternative to that is having a second button. Push that, you get electrocuted. The mouse learns, I am not pushing that fucking button, it hurts. And push this one to get my food. It's a very simple thing. We do things we like, we don't do things we don't like. So, she doesn't jump through your hoops. You want to give her a little bit of a punishment. I told you earlier there was a place for negative. Here's where it is. A neg is a great punishment for someone who isn't willing to jump through the hoop. But it's got to make sense. It's got to have a reason for it. I can't think of telling you interesting things about yourself, and then she says, no, why would I? And then you can't go, well, your nails are fake. It works. It doesn't make sense. So I've got to punish her based on that. Wait, what was that? Did I hear you say, you're not interesting? And she said, no, that's not true. I'm only kidding. The important part to make a neg succeed is to add something positive after the negative. Otherwise, you end up in a negative spiral. You ever heard of these? You're negging her, she's negging you, you both hate each other, you leave. No good. Every time you give any girl a neg, or what I call a break in rapport, you have to do something nice afterwards. If you're going to punish her, you got to do something nice. If I'm going to say, right, you've got nothing interesting, I'm going to be like, I'm only kidding, come on, you're not playing. I add a little bit of comfort afterwards, a little bit of friendliness. And then I say to her quite simply, okay, rather than tell me three things, I know you've got one thing. Give me one interesting thing. Now this makes it so much easier for her to accept. Now this is another sales technique. This technique is the face in the door technique. Face in the door technique involves a salesman smashing his face against your door and they go, oh my god, are you okay? He goes, yes, I'm fine. I want to talk to you about Hoovers. It's a different technique. He goes all out big first and then shrinks it down. They did a study on this with normal residents in some random American city, I don't remember which one it is. They go up to them and they say, hey, we're looking for people to take part in a study. Would you take part in a 2-year program looking after criminals? They're ex-convicts and we just want you to look after them for 2 years and help rehabilitate them. 100% of the survey said no fucking way. Then they said, well, in that case, would you potentially be interested in accompanying them on a day trip to the zoo? Just to make sure that, you know, they have a good time, they get to interact with normal members of society. The majority of the people asked said yes, they would do that. But when they just went up to people and said, would you be willing to go up to random people, to work with them, and have them in a zoo looking after them because they're ex-convicts for a while? They all said, no fucking way. If you just ask them to look after the convicts at the zoo, they say no. If you ask them, first of all, would they look after them for 2 years, and then ask them to go to the zoo, they're likely to say yes. That is the face in the door technique, and that is exactly the technique you're using with these hoops. If they want to jump for a big hoop, just make it smaller. They're more likely to go through it. Tell me three interesting things about yourself. Why should I? Oh man, nothing interesting about yourself? Come on, tell me one. Okay, well, once she tells you one, then you go, awesome. How about those other two? It's a medium move. One, two, three. Yeah? So that's how you escalate. Now, where do you want them to go? Well, you want them talking about conversation. They're going to give you conversation that they like talking about. She's going to tell you the things she's interested in. Your job is to now have a conversation about those topics. You're going to discuss with her about whatever it is she's interested in. You find out she likes scuba diving, great, you're going to have a conversation about scuba diving. You find out she likes horseback riding, you have a conversation about horseback riding. Shopping, you have a conversation about shopping. Here's something that I get asked a lot by students. Something I want to share with you guys. Guys say to me, Adam, how do I find girls that I'm interested in? Because I talk to girls and I get bored. And I have to tell them, you guys don't understand. You're not here for me to teach you how to make other women better for you. You're here for me to teach you how to make you better for women. Think about it. I don't know about you guys, it's all about me. My ideal woman likes video games. She likes making movies, watching films. She likes maybe talking about computers, technology, that kind of stuff. My wife doesn't like that. There's a couple of things about that that she likes, but not all of it. But some of it's there. The point is, that's my ideal woman. The person that I wouldn't have to do anything for, she'd just do whatever I wanted. In reality, I probably don't actually want her. But that's the thing, if you think you're going out there and you're going to instantly find some girl who happens to really like software programming, and on the side, you know, she likes going out and eating burgers and traveling around the world and finding places where you can get all you can eat burritos, you may not be attracted to that kind of girl. You're going to learn how to find things that she's interested in and learn how to become part of that. I want you to raise your hand if you can tell me the difference, or show me the difference, between a Birkin and a Kelly handbag. One, two. Everyone else is like, what the fuck, what? Even the girl back raised her hand, she knows the difference. Okay, you ready for this? I found a Birkin handbag in Las Vegas. It was a standard retail price and a bit of a bargain. The guy said he was willing to knock $1,000 off for me. Someone raise their hand if they can guess how much that handbag was. Not one of the people that know. Someone else, have a guess. Who's going to knock a grand off it for me?
2,000.
Sorry?
2,000.
2,000, how much?
10.
It's $170,000. It was actually $173,000. He said he'd knock off a grand. Okay, that is a Birkin handbag. You guys don't know what that is. But I bet you love a girl who knew what Bugatti is. See the problem? Girls have the equivalent of the stuff that we're interested in. We just don't know about it because we don't care. You want to know why I used to have lots of women over me and most guys didn't? I know what a Birkin handbag is. The more you know about women and the things they're interested in, the more you're going to be able to understand and relate to them. Their favorite topics of conversation. Guess what they are? Someone raise their hand. I think you know. Go for it.
Fashion.
Fashion. Okay, that's a good one. What else?
Hair, makeup.
Yeah, that comes under fashion. What else? Shopping. Yeah.
TV shows,
kind of, yeah.
Relationships
and gossip and sex. The biggest things they talk about. Why do they like TV and gossip TV shows? Because they like relationships and sex. Why do they do their makeup, workout, and their fashion? Because they like relationships and sex. Guess what? Every man in this room is interested in relationships and sex, or you would not be here. The guys that aren't interested in that are outside of this room. They didn't sign up to learn. You did. You give a fuck. You know the cube, yeah? You go up to a chick and use the cube, you're a fucking pick up artist. Go up to the chick and tell her you knew a guy that used the cube to pick up a chick, she will love you. And if she doesn't know how the cube works, she'll say, show me how that works. If she does know how it works, she's kind of, oh my god, what an idiot. Like, who does that? But I really am interested in psychological tests. You can use that shit. Just use it correctly. Most girls are very interested in relationships and sex. Anytime you start isolating the kind of things they're interested in, talking about the kind of topics they're interested in, you will be able to find out very quickly what part of their life connects to relationships and sex. If you can twist the conversation onto any of those topics, you will excel. Because you are all gold mines of information on this subject. Because you read up on it all the fucking time. They would kill to know that shit. I met this dude. He emailed me on Facebook. Hey, Adam, I need your help with something. Like, hey, buddy, listen, I do all my advice on the MPUA forum. If you're looking for advice, just put... He goes, no, it's not that kind of advice. I'm like, okay, what kind of advice is it? He goes, I need to know how you get, you know, clients. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, customers, you know, people that can teach game to. I'm like... it's tough. Like, you go out, you let talk, stuff like this, you're a bit slow down, I need to know. I'm like, wait, have you ever taught before? He goes, no, not at all. I'm like, okay. What makes you think you're qualified to teach? He goes, no, you don't get it. He goes, I've realized, I found the easiest way to get girls. I'm like, what is that? He goes, I call myself a dating coach. He goes, I tell girls that I'm this big pickup artist. And all these girls, they want to learn from me, man. And I'm like, okay, but you're not a dating coach. He goes, no, I know, but so I figure if I get some clients and stuff, I'll be able to do it. I said, dude, what are you going to teach? And he goes, I figure I'll just like take some of your stuff, take some of my mystery stuff and rehash it and put it together. And I was like, you know what, dude? I'm not going to help you, mate. I know, no offense, but it ain't going to happen. That was the shit. He realised that by calling himself a dating coach, he could pick up chicks. Now, that wasn't because he called himself a dating coach, but it's because he had some kind of authority on relationships and sex. You don't have to call yourself a dating coach to have authority on relationships and sex. You know a lot about it. You can just talk about it. You shift that conversation on talking about relationships, and you can very quickly turn it on sex. Now, I know I've got some of my students in this room for this weekend. Now, this Unfortunately, some of my competitors like spreading really horrible rumors about me. It happens. And one of those rumors is that I don't ever demonstrate things to my students. Now, anyone who's ever been in the course with me knows that's full of shit. I'd like one of my students to raise their hand who saw me talking to the bartender in the park. That guy there. Perfect. Thank you. If you wouldn't mind telling them, how long did it take for me to turn the subject slightly sexual with the bartender?
30 seconds.
About 30 seconds. What was she telling me? Yeah, that's about it. 30 seconds talking to girl, and she was describing to me how she best does fellatio, the best way of doing it, and the way that she enjoys giving it to men. 30 seconds. That is how quick you can turn a relationship from a casual conversation to sex. It's fast, it's quick, it's easy. Why? Because you're talking about relationships, then it's natural to turn on talking about sex. If you want a very quick, easy way to escalate, and you're looking for something to do, you can literally just turn around to a girl and go, hey, I'm curious. Why don't people ever talk about sex when they first meet? Now, if she says, well, I don't know, I'm comfortable talking about it, great. She's just jumped through that compliance hoop and she's willing to talk to you about sex. If she says, because it's rude, you can get out of it. And you can go, yeah, I know what you mean. I do, I see that. It makes sense. Because one of my friends was talking about this the other day. Now it all makes sense. We jump back a bit. We know she ain't ready to jump through that compliance hoop. We'll go there later on. It's just a bit more comfortable with it. Yeah? And in fact, what's nice is she's actually said, indirectly, she is willing to talk about sex, just a bit later on. So that way you never give the game away. And that's the key. The key is to always word things in a way that you're not going to get pinned down. If I say to a girl, hey, do you like doggy style? I've kind of pulled my eggs in that basket. Yeah, I'm kind of out there now. You know, I can't try to then be like, oh yeah, huh, I didn't want to talk about it and I wasn't asking you. You can't do that. But if I say to a girl, hey, I'm curious. One of my friends was telling me the other day, and you know, first of all, can I just check something? Are you the kind of girl that's kind of okay talking about things that are a little bit of a delicate nature, or are you kind of a little bit weak? I've worded it two ways. She says, no, I can say things of a delicate nature. Okay, great. So my friend the other day was telling me that most girls prefer doggy style, and I wasn't sure, because a lot of the girls that I've been with, they weren't really into doggy style. So I'm curious. From your experience, not that you like, but from your experience, the girls that you know, do they have a particular preference for any sexual position? She can't say no to that. She said she's okay with talking about things of a delicate nature. She's already pinned herself in that category. She had the opportunity to say that she's a weak kind of person that doesn't like talking about that. If she said that, you're okay. You're back in that smaller loop. You know you don't have the kind of compliance you need. Now, you're building things up from a verbal way. You're going to take it from relationships to sex. But there is another part of the game. The other part of the game is the physical compliance. You want to know if she's physically compliant here. Can I have a student for a second? Got anybody? Other demonstrations? Can I raise their hands? No, not you. Can I? This guy here, you're big. And you follow him, you get big. They're kind of saying, they're kind of saying, I know, I'm going to be you. Because you got a nice jacket. I'm actually really bad. Okay, so I want to show you. So what's your name?
Seagull.
Seagull. I'm Adam. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, wait, let me show you something. Okay, 2 seconds.
Well,
yeah, just go in for 2 seconds.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay, guys, that is physical compliance. Thank you very much. I'm going to show you the whole thing again. Yeah, it's perfect. Actually, I like the fact that you've resisted. So I'm going to show you this, right? I pulled him up. He didn't want to come up. He was trying to put his friend up. You'll see that. And then I said, no, it's okay. I have a picture. I picked you. I'm just putting a little bit of pressure. Not too much. I'm not pulling him. I'm like, come with me. Which is what a lot of guys think they have to do physical compliance. I don't need to. I'm leaving. Like, hey, buddy, just come up here for 2 seconds. That's okay. You've got brain. He's not going to go along. So I, instead of using the punishment, I use a positive reward. I give him the pellet. I like your jacket, it looks great. I give him that compliment, which makes him even more likely to follow through with it. I bring him up, and then this guy is actually a very confident person.
Okay.
Because he didn't move, he stood his ground.
And it was there.
No, who knows, right? But he is, because he stood there and he didn't move.
Yeah?
You saw that. The guy stands there and holds his own ground. So he's somebody who's very, very confident holds himself. Guess what? What percentage do you think humans are likely to follow, and what percentage do you think humans are likely to lead? It's actually 50-50. They've done a lot of studies. This. Humans are just as likely to lead as they are to follow. Stanley Milgram did another experiment about this. Basically, he figured that Germans were more likely to be compliant than Americans because of the Nazi regime and how the Germans followed Hitler's demands to kill him. So he did a study in America, in a university, where he tried to convince students to commit murder, and 86% were willing to do it if they were told to. It's a very high figure. Yeah, so we are all likely to comply as we are to be compliant. Now, this is a great example, because this guy, you can see, great program, he's not someone that's just likely to be compliant. So I lean back here and I change my body language into one that would be very good for me to walk in. I call the guy in, and he says, what? He resists again, I'm like, just 2 seconds.
Oh, good, like trying to get people to move now.
That's right. So by saying, thank you very much. So by saying just 2 seconds, I give him the compliance that he needs. It's a little bit of a reinforcement. It's like, it's a because. Just 2 seconds, it won't be a problem. The guy is willing to move a bit. And then I just pause silently. I don't add anything extra, there's no need. I just stay silently and allow the pressure of the situation to get the guy to walk up. Guys, round of applause like that. That's a very tough thing. Thank you, I appreciate it, right? So you see how that works. You can make anybody compliant. And you can see, like, I'm not going to do it again. And once he knows the trick, he doesn't want to go for it again. He's not a compliant person. Yet he was willing to do it in that situation. Females are compliant by nature. I don't have my notes on me, but there's a study that says that women are actually something like, it's not much, but it's like, women are 2/3 likely to comply and men are 1/2. It's like a really small difference, but it's there. They're a little bit more likely to conform. If you want them to conform, they will be complacent to you. You just have to lead rather than drag. I see people like sometimes trying to grab the girl's arm and walk around. I just look at the girl and I'm like, you're happy there. They're like, they're falling, but they ain't happy about it. If I want to lead the girl, I just give them 2 taps on the arm and I walk away. They follow. I assume they're going to follow, most of them do. If they don't, I give them that justification. Enough to get them to be physically compliant to me. If she's willing to come over and let me lock in, get me into a position where I'm in a solid position and she's leaning into me, A, every other person in the room sees a girl hitting on me. B, she's in a position where she's used to being when she's attracted to a guy, so she's going to step, get that going for her head. More importantly, if everyone else in the room thinks she's hitting on me, if anything fucks up, I can go on to another girl and it doesn't look like I've got blown out. So it's still a win on my point. Plus, with her being physically compliant in that nature, I can probably isolate her from her friends. Something else that is incredibly important. A girl is very unlikely to make out with you in front of her friends because she doesn't want to seem like a slut. She's not interested in looking like a slut or in her friends judging her. She doesn't really want that. You can help her get over that by isolating her from her friends. Anytime you can give a girl a justification to do something crazy, she's going to be more likely to follow it. It's the same thing with standing over. You want a girl to do something completely crazy, you need to give her the ability to justify that in her mind. Now, Sigmund Freud has a great thing about realization. He basically says that any time a girl does something crazy, something that she wouldn't normally do, she has to realize and justify it to live with herself. An example would be a girl that meets some guy, a cute guy out in the bar. She makes out of him, takes him home and has sex with her. The next day, her friends go, oh my god, did you have sex with that guy? She's going to be like, yeah, but her brain starts realizing it. Oh my god, I did have sex with that guy. But I'm not the kind of girl that just has sex with a random guy. She's realizing the process. She's going to need to come up with the realization of why she did it. She thinks, oh, I must have been drunk. I must have been drunk, because that's the only reason I would have sex with a guy that I don't really know. She says, oh, I was drunk. Then she needs to justify why she was drunk. The justification is, of course, you know what, I didn't eat before I went out, so, you know, the alcohol had a stronger effect on me. There it is. Realization, justification, crazy choice. The beautiful thing about this is it's a pyramid. It needs all 3 sides of that pyramid to be created. And if you have any 2 sides, the 3rd point is more likely. So, if you want a girl to make a crazy choice, you just have to give her the realization and the justification first. I know this from working in nightclubs in London. I'm going to admit to you guys a secret. In London, I used to give away free alcohol. And I am terribly, terribly sorry to admit, but I watered down the alcohol. I watered it down for a very good reason. I didn't want drunk girls. You ever wonder why alcohol that's given away at nightclubs always comes with mixers? You can't ever drink it straight from the bottle. Unless you pay for it yourself. You get free alcohol, it's all always with a mixer. That's because they water it down. They don't want you to taste the fact that they've watered it down. They water it down for a very good reason. You get free alcohol, you're going to drink it. You're going to get drunk faster. A big table full of beautiful women is very attractive. A big table full of drunk beautiful women, not so attractive. They fall over, their knickers get caught in their bra, they do all sorts of weird stuff. Ain't no one wants that. So we water down alcohol. That makes them act like they're drunk. But the minute something goes wrong, they snap out of it. They're not actually drunk. This is a tactic and a technique that's known by nightclub owners all around the world. It's what we used to do. So I know the girls would come up to me and be like, I'm so drunk. Totally had to make out. Just as friends, like, I'm so drunk. And I'm like, I know you're not drunk. You've only had 3 glasses of vodka, and that means you've had about that much vodka. You cannot be drunk. But there she is. I'm drunk. I've had 3. Totally drunk. Like, you're not drunk. But, you know, whatever. Make out, have sex, or whatever. So the point is, she's got the realization and justification already there. If you need this chick to make a crazy choice, you need to give her the realization and the justification. She needs to have both those things. If she has spent 4 hours in a nightclub talking to you and ignoring her friends, she's got a realization there. Oh, I spent 4 hours with this guy. I don't normally do that. Oh, why would I spend 4 hours ignoring my friends? Her friend's like, hey, why are you hanging around that guy? You've been ignoring us. They actually cement the deal. Her friends aren't hot looking you at that point. They're coming in and they're like, oh, why are you hanging around this guy? If you've done it right, if you've gained the credit, she's enjoyed that interaction, she's going to say, I like it. She will justify it to her friends. So you need to be able to get her to isolate away. The easiest way to do that is to give her a realization and justification. So for example, hey, I'm going to go get a drink. You thirsty? She says, yeah, I'm thirsty. Okay, cool. Let's go grab a drink. One of the easiest ways of getting somebody to follow what you want is to ensure that any question you give them is not the question you want an answer to. If I say to a girl, do you want to come and get a drink with me? There's a very good chance she will say no. On the boot camp we just did, any time a student had a girl refuse to do something with them, it was almost always because they said, would you like to do this with me? Would you like to give me your phone number? No. Would you like to come and have a drink with me? No. Don't make the question about what you want them to do. Instead, diverse it. Ask a girl if she prefers whiskey or vodka. The chick says vodka. You go, okay, cool, let's get a good one. I didn't ask if she wants to get vodka. I asked which of the two she prefers. Her answer leads an assumption that I am willing to take her to the bar. I don't ask a girl if she wants to give me a phone number. I say, hey, what's the best way of staying in touch? She says, Facebook. I go, great, perfect. I take it down. You know what's great about Facebook? I love this. There's a couple of things. Firstly, most girls who are hot have their Facebook profile on private. Thank you. They have it on private. Guess what's written on the homepage of their Facebook? Their phone number. Any girl that gives you a Facebook is actually going to give you a phone number as well. She knows that in her head. So if you say to a girl, what's the best way to stay in touch? And she says Facebook, you go, okay, great, I'll just add that. In her mind, something very funny has happened. She's committed to giving her Facebook. And she knows that on her Facebook is a phone number and a group called Add Me If You Need My Number or whatever. She knows she's got that. So you can go, oh man, you know what? I left my Facebook phone at home, but you know what? What's your number? Let me just take that down instead. She's already mentally given you her phone number via Facebook. Her brain has already gone through that commitment to stay in touch with you. All you need is the justification and realization of why she can't give you her Facebook. So you go, oh man, you know what? It's a bitch putting names into this thing like for Facebook. What's your number of texts to me instead? Realization, justification. Get the phone number. Anytime a girl is willing to give you her Facebook, if you accept that, if you go, okay, great, 1 minute, I'll just get out, quiet the phone, you can take her phone number instead. I'd say 90% of the time you can make that transition. If you say, no, Facebook's no good, I need your number, she'll go, fuck you. Because at that point, you've refused her decision to give you her contact details. If you just go, okay, no, I've got your phone number instead, it ain't going to work. You're pushing her. Accept the Facebook. Then whip out your phone, go for the phone number. There's a demo of me doing this on YouTube, where I'm talking to this chick, and she tells me she's happy to give me her Facebook. And I go, okay, great, I'll put it down. Oh wait, you know what? Doesn't have my phone. What's the best way to stay in touch with you? You got a phone number or something said? She goes, okay, gives me a number. She's already decided to give me Facebook, she shifts it to the phone number. Yep.
Can you make the distinction between realization and justification now?
Okay, no problem. The easiest way of thinking about it is the realization is the why, and then the justification is the physical things that were done that made it okay. An example of the drunk chick, why did I have sex with that guy? I'm not that kind of girl. It must be because I was drunk. But that's not quantifiable. So then, she justifies it with the actual physical reason. Oh yeah, I drank a lot of alcohol. She didn't drink a lot of alcohol, but she justifies it like that.
So she's creating a false reality.
Yes, that is exactly what it is. The realization, it's almost part connected to a reality. That's almost the best way of thinking about it, I suppose, if you're trying to remember it. She basically, you think that the summary of it is, she needs a reason for everything she does that's crazy and out of character. Like, taking home a guy she's never met before is out of character for her. If it isn't, you need to get checked out the next day for an STD. You're hoping it is. If it's out of character for her, she's going to have to justify that tomorrow. Now, knowing she has to justify it tomorrow, she's going to be stressing about doing it. So help her justify it today. That way, she doesn't have to worry about tomorrow, because she's already justified it. Why did she take my shoot back to her house? If he just said, can I come back to your house? She'd have said, I've got a dog, my daughter lives in the bed with me, and I've got, you know, all this situation going on, no fucking way. But he justified it first. I have nowhere to stay, and you're the one that knows my address. Because the justification and the realization is, oh my god, I'm in charge of this, I've got to get this guy home somehow. The justification is, his phone doesn't work, he can't phone the guy, so I'm going to have to bring him back to my house. She has the realization, the justification, then she does the action. She brings him home. I guarantee you, if he'd have just said to her, can I stay at your place tonight? She'd have said no. And there's a good fucking reason. Like, it's a good point, but if a girl says no, maybe it's a good fucking reason. Like, maybe you shouldn't do it, otherwise you're going to get beaten off next to a 4-year-old.
In other words, I'll just come back to the original point about reasons. Everything has to have a reason.
Yeah. You want to escalate somebody? Everything needs a reason. Every single part of that point needs to be built up. You can then take a go, and you think about it. How are you going to get 5 minutes of her time? You need a reason for it. The reason is you're giving her a compliment. Why are you giving her a compliment? Because there's a reason for it. You go up to go on and neg her, where the fuck is the reason? There isn't one. You're just doing it. Therefore, it's not believable. Now, if she falls for it, she's just a weak person. If you give her a reason, then you stay. And you shouldn't really have a reason to just go up to random people and insult them. Most people don't have a reason for that. It's not nice. So, in summary, the way this works, you want to make sure you do things, and this is, like I said, it's an alternative way. This isn't the way I normally teach. This is a way that I can teach in a very quick and condensed way for you guys. The easiest way to do it, you get 5 minutes of her time, you give her a reason for why she should give it to you. Compliment with a reason is a pretty easy one. You then shift it up and escalate on two levels. One, logistically. Your entire plan is mapped out. You know you've got to get her into your bedroom or her bedroom, how you can do it. That's all prearranged. You just walk it down a path. If you find out you get too much resistance on one path, shift to a different one. If she's like, no, I can't take you home, I live in my flat now, I've got to drive her home. Okay, it's time to start making that your new logistical plan. On the gangway, you keep going for compliance and escalating. If the chick will let you kiss her forehead, she'll let you kiss the side of her head. Let you kiss here, let you kiss here, let you kiss her lips. If you kiss her forehead and she pulls away, you don't have enough compliance. Step back, keep gaining, get more compliance. The same thing those naturals do. They just keep pushing for compliance. At any point they don't get it, they bring it back. You keep escalating the compliance. You get her physically leaning into you, physically getting turned on. She's following you around the club. She spends the whole night with you. She thinks, fuck, why did I spend the whole night with this guy? I must like him. The logistics of planning to take her back to your house. You bounce for cookies or for burritos or whatever it is you do. You bounce to the next venue. Then you bounce home. At home, it's you and her, and you keep escalating things up. Now, yeah, there are holes in this, but I've also taught the entire method in about an hour and a half. So if you guys really want to make this work, then it really is all about just following a set plan and knowing what you're doing. Most guys don't have a problem opening nowadays. They have a problem closing. And the problem closing is because they have no fucking idea how to do it. You want to know why? Because most people that teach this still don't know exactly how that end part happens. Because unfortunately there are a lot of guys that just decided to become dating coaches so they can help themselves pick up pussy. You need to know the back end of it. believe me, the back end of it is the thing that will fuck you up. Because if your logistics aren't in place, you're going to get caught out time and time again. And the ability to deal with the logistics, the ability to deal with those objections, is what will set you apart from every other guy. I'll tell you a couple of things before we finish. First of all, a lot of people think the good game happens very quickly. It doesn't. You ever see a dude go up to some chick and make everything happen in 5 minutes? She already liked it. Or the first thing he said was really, really cool and she already liked it. Good game takes time. I was working with one of my students 2 weeks ago. I was helping this guy out. He wanted a game and pick up these two hot New York City fashion models. They'd just quit the scene and they'd moved to Austin. They still look like New York City fashion models. They just weren't anymore. We go up and we start talking to these girls. They are cold to me. I'd already been voted number one in the world, so my game must have been better. That was my thinking. It doesn't matter, right? But the point is, they were cold. This guy's watching me, and I'm struggling with these two chicks. I'm talking to them for 45 minutes. They are cold. Objection after objection. They tell me, I'm with my friend, you're going to go and catch up with them. I'm like, okay, no problem, I'll catch you guys later. I leave them for 2 seconds. I go, hey guys, what's up? This is your friend, nice to meet you, I'm out of there. I'm in again. I keep escalating. The student's bored. He leaves, he starts gaming other sets. He gets talks for 3 or 4 minutes, he leaves. After a while, one of the girl's friends says, hey, you know what, we should bounce to a new venue. I go, that's a great idea, I've got a great place. We all bounce to a new venue. You walk in the new venue, suddenly I'm leaving. They're giving me complaints because they're walking me to the venue. We go to the new venue, everything changes. The girls love me now. Now they're partying with me, now they're dancing. My students are still going around talking to 3 or 4 girls, getting blown out, talking to a few more, gaming, building it up. After 4 hours of game, I've turned these girls around from absolutely hating me to grinding, dancing with me, and begging me for my phone number. To prove it to the student, I've shown how you bounce girls out. I bounce the chicks for food. I go, hey, you know what, guys? Like I said earlier, I'm hungry. You guys hungry? They're like, yeah. They go, didn't you mention some New York deli place in Texas? I'm like, that's right, I did. Let's go there. We bounce to this place. I'm sitting there with these two models. The student's looking at me going, how the fuck do you do this? The difference between me and the student, I put up with their shit for 45 minutes. He didn't. When I first met my wife, I met her with 5 other pickup artist instructors. 5 other guys who have appeared on the top 10 lists. They didn't get any room. I did. You want to know what the difference is between me and them? They dealt with her objections for 2 days, and they all gave up. My wife turned me down for a year. A year. If you have any idea how tough that is. I worked at every single objection my wife gave me for a year. If you look at the very first PUA summit that I appear on, you'll hear she doesn't refer to herself as my girlfriend. She goes, he's my friend. I put up with that for a year. Nothing. Every single time I tried everything, objection, 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 objection. I dealt with every single one. You want to know what's going to separate you from the next man? You want to know what's going to help you stand out from those naturals? It is your ability to deal and stick with those objections. Because when you beat past them, you're going to find yourself in a situation where the girl's looking around. She's seeing a dude that's fought his way past every other guy. He has succeeded in pulling off what no other guy can do. And she thinks exactly my wife thinks. You know what? If this guy's willing to put up with all that shit for a year, I'll take it. Funniest thing is, when she first said yes to me, the next day we hang out, everything was amazing. She gave me no shit, she gave me no trouble, there were no disagreements. I was like, oh my god, you're amazing today. And she goes, what did you expect? I was like, I expected a lot worse than this. I was like, you're a pain in the ass. She goes, no, I didn't like you then. Yeah, I put up with that. I had to, that was what I had to do. And believe me, as a pickup artist, as a dating coach, I deserved probably a lot worse. I got a reputation, it ain't a good one. I met our parents. What do you think our parents said when they met me? Oh, great, darling, you're dating the third best pickup artist in the world. Well done. Not say that. My mom goes online and Googles Adam Lyons. Pussy pounding pleasure in 7 minutes? Fuck! Did not go well. She put up with a lot of shit. Yeah? With any women that sort of like hear about this and they want to learn how you pick up a player, it's fucking hard. And it's hard to stay as one as well. So, I got some things that I'm going to share with you guys. You guys got pens and paper, or iPhones, I'm going to take it out. I've got some free shit I want to give you, so make sure you write this down. Like I said, that is just a format of a particular method that I've seen work. Nationals do it in London, and they do it very well, yeah? Like, a lot of my friends are these really big black guys, and they honestly, they do better than most of the pick parties that teach this crap. You know, you always hear, you go, yeah, pick parties, they're okay, you know, what about these other guys, they do it all the time. They do it very well. They don't necessarily know what they're doing, they can't break it down in a psychological term that, you know, a skinny white boy like me can pick up, but still, they really do know what they're doing. I've taken what they're doing, bits of it at least, and I've tried to break it down in a way that you guys can use that. But there are holes and there are chunks missing. There are two very key things that I want to give you. And I don't have time to teach you now, so I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to send them to you. I want you to send an email to amanda@puatraining.com. In the subject, it's very important. If you don't write the subject, you may get missed. Is freebies. Freebies, F-R-E-E-B-I-E-S. Freebies. I'm going to send you a book that I've written that I only give away for free. You cannot buy it. It doesn't exist. I give it away for free to clients that I really like and that I enjoy working with, but it just happens to be the piece that's missing from this. It's a guide to social circles. I developed it back in 2006. A lot of people managed to get hold of it and they have ripped off their variant courses of it. But that's a very simple, quick and easy guide that we put together. It was actually part compiled by one of my instructors, part by me, Alex, who worked with me back when I did Entourage Game and Project Entourage. So, freebies is the subject line, and I'm going to send you that social circle guide. I'm also going to give you a free phone consultation with one of my instructors. If you want the phone consultation, you need to put your phone number down in that email. So make sure you write down in it, add phone number. You do that, and I'll make sure that one of my instructors gives you a phone consultation. Now, I'll let you know, that cost me money to do that. Right? So if we miss some of you, I'm sorry. That may happen. But if you want to make sure you're considered for it, do put your phone number down, and I'll try to make sure that one of my guys finds you. Any questions? I love when I teach games so well. No, everyone's like, fuck, you solved it for me. Thank you. Fucking done. You go for it.
Is there going to be any podcasts or like any audio files for us to listen to this again?
I have no idea. I'm not organizing this. This was actually organized by this lovely gentleman here and these other guys. Is this going to be a podcast for them to get hold of? Or?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I was going to put this up for free.
100%. Please do that. Yes, please. Where would it be?
It'll be at
pickupartistevents.com. There you go. There's about 20 guys here from my course as well. So those guys, pickupartistevents.com. They don't know the thing. Pickupartistevents.com.
Those who don't know.
Cool. Yep.
I think I'm pretty novice in this whole thing, but I think there's a higher value is one of the discussions, and you can explain a bit more than that.
All right, let me explain this to you. There are two types of game that are being taught nowadays. Okay, there's something called value-based game, and then there's investment-based game. Value-based game is the traditional old-school style of methods. Value-based game is all about making yourself a man. You worry about your style, your look. It's all about making sure you don't look bad. You ensure that you look confident, that you stand up to people. You're the alpha male. You show people what's what. Value-based game works. It is also very rigid in its structure. Investment-based game is all about getting somebody else to do something. I'm going to pick on you a little bit. I'm very sorry for this. I apologize in advance. A good example was me and that dude here. The guy comes up, he's got a very good style, he's got a very good look, he's obviously very proud, yeah? You can tell that by the fact that he's unwilling to do the demo the second time. High value. I was using investment-based game. Everything I did was all about getting him to lean into me, getting him to work. If you can pull investment game off, you will run rings around anyone using value-based game. A good example, you're talking to a girl, and a big guy goes, dude, that's my fucking girl, what are you doing? Comes right up in your face, yeah? You go, buddy, I am so sorry, I didn't mean to, you know what? I'm going to fix this for you, let me buy you a drink. He's fucked, and I'll tell you why. If he doesn't let you buy him a drink, he's an asshole, and his girl will see it, and she'll go, why are you always getting up in everyone's face? He will ruin his own game that night. There's a good chance I'll have a fight, and you can step in afterwards. If he lets you buy him a drink, he's being compliant to you and he's lost his position of authority. His only way to get out of it is to say, no, let me buy you a drink. And then you can go, alright buddy, I appreciate that, thanks. Investment-based game is all about making sure the other person works at it. It's faster, it's quicker, it literally, it's my thing, it's what I brought to me, it's my formula I came up with. There are two key ways to make someone invest and teach on a normal bootcamp. I don't have time to get into it now. But it is all about getting the other person to chase you. I didn't join the game to run around picking up chicks, I joined to have them chase me. If you know anything about my history, you can check out, you'll see that the majority of things I've come up with are all about getting women to chase me. I created a lifestyle where women chase me, everything about it. Like I said, like, I don't know how many people you guys get come and do these talks, but how many of you turn up with, you know, a couple of girls? Let alone one. And I bet there's not many. Cool. Any other questions? Yo.
That was incredible.
Thank you.
For one thing, like, I've been doing this for probably a short while, but in the time that I have, things are going pretty well. Like,
awesome.
In terms of, like, my growth and what I want, right? But one thing that, like, no matter how long I try to click, I still have sick
approach anxiety. Okay. No problem. I can help you over this. There are two key psychological ways to get over approach anxiety. One is flooding, the other is systematic desensitization. These are two of the leading... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. I'm also sorry. Okay. Number one is flooding. Flooding is the equivalent... Let's just take a dude who's scared of spiders. Okay? You got a guy who's scared of spiders, flooding, you pick the guy up over a bath of spiders and drop him in. He goes, oh my god, I'm gonna die! And like, when he doesn't die, he goes, oh okay, it's not so bad actually. That's what happens. Now, the equivalent again is not, unfortunately, holding over a bathtub of women and dropping you in. That's not. You don't have a fear of women, you have a fear of approaching them. It's different. So the equivalent would be to go up to random girls you've never met, drop down on one knee and go, I am madly in love with you, will you marry me? Now, that isn't going to help you pick them up, but it will get you over your fear of approach anxiety. Something I used to do when I first started. There's a video of me on YouTube doing it. I actually look pretty good at it. But it's not a good form of game. But it will get over your fear. She's doing it as a joke, not because you really like it. Systematic desensitization is a little bit easier and a little bit more normal. It's a psychological method of, if you're scared of a spider, I'd show you a picture of a spider. Then, I would show you a video of a spider. Then I'd show you a spider in a box. Then I'd take the lid off the box. Then I'd put the spider in your hand. Or in front of you on the floor. Then I'd put it in your hand. Yeah? So you slowly realize, it's basically the same thing with compliance loops. Each one is smaller and smaller. The jump is easier. Then I saw it in a book. I can see it on TV, etc., etc. Right? When it comes to game, start small. What I suggest is you do 5 compliment openers. And you run away. That way there's no bad spam. You just things like this. Dude, I have to say, I love that scarf jacket combo. It's great. My name's Adam. What's your name? Cool. Have a great day. And leave. Right? That, you give 5 people compliments, you're going to see they smile. People love receiving compliments. We're predisposed to love them. You do the big smiley face, they'll smile. You do that 5 times, you're going to go, oh my god, I'm basically the man that gives joy to people. You'll start feeling like that. You'll go, everyone I talk to smiles. This is incredible. You start doing that, and you're going to find everything gets a lot easier. Next time you go, fuck it, I'm going to hang around. They like me being here, obviously, so I'll stay. And you slowly build it up that way. The boot camp is designed to do that. That's kind of why we do boot camps. But if not, it's easy just to grow it up like that. And don't give you our boot camp web address, because I'm personally not studying boot camps. So, that'll work. Yo.
My question is, a lot of times, especially at work, you in the club, you talk to a lot of girls, you approach a lot of women, and something I run into, I guess the good problem, happens to a problem, is if I'm talking to one girl, and I don't flirt with her, discussion, the other girl come over and make a comment, and some girls smile at others, so they'll say, let's just have a move.
Okay, how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, you understand what's going on. That is actually what I teach the meta game. I developed it by watching women. They're fucking evil at it. They come in and basically they blow you out because they make you available. They basically are making the girl feel like a slut so she won't touch you. Okay? The easiest way to do it is game both until you can isolate one out from the other girl. So you build up both of them and flirt with both and keep it friendly with both of them. Over time, they'll be cool if you hang out with both of them and they won't try and blow each other out because they don't want to ruin their chances with you. Yeah? Or they'll both attack each other and they'll still stay with you. Then all you have to do is create the logistics to separate the two of them and balance with the one you want. Now, you say you work in clubs?
Where I work and where I'm at clubs.
Okay. So the key way that I used to do this is I would actually close both and arrange to meet both of them somewhere else afterwards and then cancel with one I didn't want. That way I separated them. So I used to add literally a physical time barrier in between. Another thing that I used to do is when I was at the club, I used to hook up myself with two nightclubs. And I would take one of the girls and be like, hey, have you ever seen such and such nightclub? My friend's got a deal there, let's go check it out. And I would leave the club with one girl and go to the other club and completely isolate her and then continue my game in the second club. That is so powerful, you have no idea. Because no one can interfere and she walked in the venue only knowing you. Most girls are not social as we are, so she would just sit on you the whole night. Very powerful. Good question, very high-end question. Next question. This guy then you.
What happens when you're, you're having a conversation with a girl and like, you just like run out of things to say?
Okay, all my guys in the boot camp, they know this one, but let me help you out. If you run out of things to say, it's because you're not responding to what she's saying. Every time you have a sentence to a girl, that sentence you can respond to it. So for example, if you're like, the biggest mistake, let's go with the string, is if you say to somebody, where are you from? And she says, Paris. And you're like, okay, what are you doing in New York? You kill the Paris conversation. She says she's from Paris. You can talk about Paris for ages. But what happens is, as guys, we tend to just shift to the next topic fast. If you spoke about Paris first, at the end of that, after you've spoken about Eiffel Tower and other shit, you can be like, oh, so what are you doing in New York? Then she goes, I'm here in New York because I'm doing this, and because I've got friends here. They're two new topics. So now we're going to talk about why she's in New York. Then we're going to talk about friends. Each of those will create new topics. These actually spider out into thousands of little topics. If you can remember just six of them, you can shift between them, or three of them, you can shift. And every topic will spawn three or four new topics. That's the trick.
And like, let's say she doesn't respond.
If she's not responding, then she's giving failure to comply with that part of the conversation. So at that point, you shift it back again. A good example of this is one of my students. I call my instructors my students. It's kind of a bit confusing for you guys, so he's actually an instructor, my bad. But I call my instructors my students because they're all my students, right? So like, one of my instructors, I'm training him up for some high-level shit. I'm like, hey dude, go and high-five that girl. And he goes, okay, fine. He goes up to go, hey, high-five! And she goes, fuck off. He comes up to me and he goes, no, dude, she wouldn't do it. I was like, yeah, I know, that's what I chose. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, like, oh, I knew she was a bitch, I knew she'd say that, so, you know. Now I'm going to high-five her. And he goes, no, dude, she just wants to fuck off. I said, yeah, but you want to be instructing me, right? He goes, yeah. I said, you know what I'm saying? My instructions don't fail. Go and high-five. And he goes, dude, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, no, I'm not kidding you. I teach the best, I employ the best. Go and give her a high-five. He goes, dude, she just told me, go and give her a fucking high-five. He goes up to me, he goes, hey, high-five. She goes, I told you to fuck off. He comes up to me and goes, dude, it ain't happening. I was like, give her a high-five. And he's like, Adam, are you fucking for real? I'm like, dude, I'm nice to my normal students, and then you're a fucking instructor. You get a fucking high five, and they'll come back to me until you high five them. He's like, I don't care if it takes you a week. High five her, come back. So he goes back up to her, and this time he starts thinking correctly how I expect my students to think. He goes up to her, and she's with a group of four people. He goes to a different girl in the group. The fat rocking one. He goes, hey babe, you know what? I love your top. High five. And she goes, okay. And she high fives him. Here's the next girl. Hey, you know, you're cool too. High five. High five. Here's the next girl. Hey, you're cool. High five. They miss the bitch. Hey, high five. Now, all her friends have high fived this guy. So she looks at him, she's like, ah. High five. And he goes, yeah, have a great night. And leaves. And because he got the compliance of all of her friends, it was a different escalation. If you can't comply with a girl, use her friends. Put peer pressure on her. Same thing I did with this guy. He's up there. I just sat back. Everyone's watching. He's got to do something. Someone's got to do something. And I'm really comfortable with the uncomfortable. So I just chill. Yeah? So you can get a friend to do it. So just bring it back down. Bring it back down. If it really fucks up, move on to the next one. But that, if you're opening correctly and you're adding value and someone to make a compliment, you're not going to get many bad reactions. You know there's no such thing as a bitch shield. What? Raise your hand if you think there is such a thing as a bitch shield. Okay, there's no such thing. Explain to you. Who watches Star Trek? Raise your hand. Do they fly around with their shields up?
No.
When do they put their shields up? After they get fucking hit by a torpedo, right? The first time they get hit, they go, shields up! Shields up! And they put shields up, right? If a girl is being bitchy to you, you hit her with a torpedo. You fucked up. Most bitch shields are a reaction to nays. You insult the girl, she's like, yeah, well, I'm a fucking stripper. Like, that's what happens. They fight back. I don't get bitch shields. That chick, in 30 seconds, she was describing and showing me the way she gives fellatio. The best way to give a deep blowjob to a dude. She's describing the whole thing to me. Is that a bitch shield? Fuck no. She didn't go like, why are you talking about fellatio to me? Why the fuck are you talking about giving head? That's just weird. She didn't. She had no reason to. I'm friendly. I'm nice. I'm like, hey, babe, what's up? I'm going to get water. I tipped her $1 for my water. She goes, oh, thanks ever so much. I'm like, no problem. How was your Christmas? She's like, oh yeah, my Christmas was great. I went to Costa Rica. I'm like, no way, that's amazing. I've got family out in Costa Rica. I've been thinking about going. I've never been. She goes, you should go. It's great. We had a great conversation about Costa Rica, talking about that. And then she goes, what did you do? I said, oh, I just came out from Vegas. She goes, no way, what are you doing there? It's like, it's at the porn awards. There's no shit. What for? I said, oh, I've got a friend of mine. He's actually out there. And he's the guy that teaches people how to get blowjobs. She then says, no way. I did a class for that once. And I say, no way. And then I say to her, so what did you learn? Escalate.
That's your story?
100%. Yeah, they guys, the students were the bootcamp.
Not the girl, but the backstory.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. You guys ever heard of Johnny Sporner? He's a friend of mine, he's a pickup coach. He's not really a pickup coach. If you call him a pickup coach, he gets upset. He's a guy that teaches people about women, and his job is he teaches girls how to give blowjobs. So it's kind of a bit cheesy. He's a good guy. He's a very good guy. But it's not pickup. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you don't like routines and all that, but since it's kind of like the scientific in its nature, would it help to maybe write now and think beforehand, like justifications and problems?
That's a very good question. I want to clarify this.
What was the question?
The question was, Adam, I know you don't like routines, but would it help to write stuff down? I want to address this. I actually am not against routines. I am against routine-based training systems. If someone's teaching you routines, they are not teaching you what attraction is. They are saying to you, if you do this, you'll get good. You don't have to pick up in a coffee shop? Don't worry about it. Now we have a coffee shop routine book. Oh, you want to know about night game? Oh, don't worry about it. We've got a night game routine manual. Oh, you worried about making friends? Here, this is a book we're going to charge you $500 for. This is how you make friends. Fuck that shit. They're not teaching you anything. They're arming you with essentially what are justification-free situations. I teach you justifications, you can go and create your own. Creating your own justifications, great. Stealing justifications you've heard elsewhere and using them, great. But the trick is, make it you. Don't make it a generic one that everyone else has used, otherwise you get screwed. Like I said, you go up to a girl and you start running the queue, if she's seen the pickup artist, it's over. You go up to a girl, tell her that once you saw this show where someone used the queue, and now you saw somebody using it to pick up a chick, you can talk about it. Make it up yourself. Make your own routine. Yeah.
How do you, it seems like you're all these compliance techniques, practically speaking, shut off your mind when you have, warp speed.
Yes.
How do you get to that level? Just a question of practice and practice, or is there any?
Okay. There's a book called Talent is Overrated. And it basically breaks down all of the people in our life, in our history, that we think were exceptional people. They actually weren't. Every single one of them was only exceptional because they put in a lot of practice. One of my favourites was, I think it's... Is it Beethoven or Mozart? Which one of them was, supposedly amazing at 5 years old?
Mozart,
okay. They use Mozart as an example. Mozart didn't create shit at 5 years old. At 5 years old, what he did was he actually composed other people's works together. Why? Because from the age of 2, his dad had taught him how to compose other people's music together. Yeah? Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods' dad was a golf instructor who taught him golf from 2 months and onwards. He sat him in his pram watching him play golf to put it in the guy's head. If you ask Tiger Woods what made him good at golf, he'll say hard work. If you ask him why he's not good with women, he'll say because he didn't put hard work into that. I'm still trying to say it. But that's the point, it's effort, dude. A lot of hard work. What made me good? 7 hours a day, 7 days a week, practicing when I first started this. But the difference is between me and you guys is I wrote my shit down and broke it down. You can shave hours off of it. If you look, and they actually did this thing. If you compare Mozart's first original piece of composition to an expert who does this, you add up the hours he put in to training compared to nowadays, the hours someone puts in training, he put in a lot more hours to achieve what somebody nowadays can do. Because we stand on the shoulders of giants, everything's easier. It makes sense why we're going to have better scientific breakthroughs now than we did 30 years ago, because the knowledge is better. The game, that was in 2003, man. It's 2010 now. And that's why every year I innovate new stuff. You guys, you've heard this talk. Be my eyes and ears. Watch. In a year, 2 years, you're going to start seeing people come out with a compliance game, a black guy game. You're going to hear all this shit. You heard it here. I innovate something new every year. Because I realized 4 years ago, everyone's stealing my shit. I got warned. Neil Strauss phoned me up. He goes, hey man, I see everyone stealing your shit. I'm like, yeah, Neil doesn't steal my shit. He's a great guy. And Neil phoned me up and he told me, he goes, they did it to mystery as well. It's going to happen. They're going to keep stealing your shit. And he goes, what are you going to do about it? You need a plan. And I was like, it's easy. Every year, I'll come up with something new. Every year I have a brand new thing to come out and teach you guys. That's why I'm always innovating, I'm always learning. You want to get good, you have to keep right at the cutting edge. I have to with my work. To teach you guys, I have to be at the cutting edge. For you guys to be good with girls, you need to put yourself on the cutting edge. Use the information that's out there, man. I'm not the only one, I'm not saying I'm the only one. There are a lot of other guys with some really good stuff out there. There's a guy called Hydro in LA has some awesome stuff. Luke, who's like one of my instructors, he's got probably 7 best in the world at the moment. Some of the shit that Luke does blows me away, even to say, and Luke's fucking ugly, man. I see him. Look at him. Look at him when you see him and think, how does he do that?
Which one is that?
Where is
he?
Is he having a shower?
Yeah.
Right? He's really not attractive. Yeah. So, like, I get blown away all the time at things other people do. Everyone's got some good shit. The trick is just make sure it's cutting edge. And realistically, like, it doesn't matter if someone's got all my stuff. If it's good, if it's new, if it's out there and you're learning from them, whatever, man. Whatever makes you guys good. I am in this for you lot. You may not believe me, you may think that's weird, but I am. I got into this because the community helped me. I got a beautiful wife, I got an amazing house in Texas, and I cannot tell you how much I love you guys. Because you are me. This is why everyone's like, wow, I don't really care. I do fucking care. I really care how well you guys get on. I want you all to go out and become amazing, and I want you to go and show other people we are amazing now, and Adam didn't fucking charge us for it. I'm not in this for my money. Like, again, I know some of the guys charge 10 grand for a weekend with them, and like, I don't care about that. I don't want that. Like, I charge the same price, I charge $1,000 a head. I will take as many shoots as I can, I will train as many as I can. Yeah, that's the same shit I'm saying to all of you guys. All I want is for you to get good. But my deal is, if I'm teaching, you use it. I don't want to see the same faces over and over again. I want you out there using it and getting good. Coming back and helping me teach other people. That is what I want. Yeah? Any other questions? Yo.
Hey man, I want to understand your qualification.
Qualification, okay. This is part of the main bootcamp, so it's a very long topic. I want to preface this with that. I'm going to give you a short answer, but I need you to know this answer isn't the real one, it's just a quick condensed one. Qualification.
There'd be enough high qualification and low qualification.
I mean, high qualification and low qualification. Okay, yeah, it's the same thing. Okay, so to break it down, essentially, high qualification is a question that somebody is unlikely to go through. Low qualification is a much smaller question. They are like, for example, high qualification would, no, low qualification would be, do you like vodka or whiskey? High qualification would be, do you spit or swallow? Okay? If I go up to a girl and then metaphor and go, do you spit or swallow? Ain't gonna work. But if I go, hey, do you ever talk to random strangers? And she said, yes, I do. She jumped for a small, a low qualification move. If I get through that one, I've got a better chance of growing it up and doing other things. But like I said, it's a very long time we teach the boot camp, but that's the short version of it. Next question. Anyone else? Another one? Yo.
Can you recommend some sort of resources from here? Okay,
the best places to get resources, if you're really looking for it, if you go to puatraining.com, that's our main site, there is something called the Vault on there. You can bypass all the sales stuff if you're clever. You have to like look for close buttons and shit. But the Vault has a load of stuff in there. They do a lot of stuff. And I think there's like 100 opener book or something. There's a load of stuff there. There's a website that Amanda's got access to where you can download like a bootcamp in a box. And it's like, it's all the same material as a bootcamp, except it's like $150. And if you put in your email to Amanda that you want information about a bootcamp in a box, she can send you that. That's like a really cheap, easy way to get a bootcamp. That's about it, I think. That's probably the best way to go about it. Cool. Yo.
Any recommendations for beginners on how to get started?
Yes. Here's the best recommendation, okay? I am not in New York, I wish I was. Because I would help you out. So instead, I'm going to give you guys the ability. Thinking. Sorry. Alex. Are you up for what I'm about to put you up for? Sure. What day, typically, would you definitely commit to and not back out of in a week? Not every week, but every so often. Really?
As long as it's a weekend.
Okay. Would you, not this Saturday, but the Saturday after, 2 weeks from yesterday, would you do a free training?
I would love to.
Sure.
Yes.
So you cannot quit from this.
That's good.
What time and where should they meet?
You guys know who's taking it or Mike Hammond?
Mike Hammond.
If someone who knows a lot about just venues with other people, so I guess we can start at 9 and go the whole night.
Okay. So let's do the park at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah. What number of days are looking?
Okay.
Hampton,
Alex is going to get so far. Tomorrow for the park. Alex, you have to be very on top of that, okay? Alex,
if you want to tell me about it, I'm going to be in the talking board so I can send out all the info.
That would be very cool. Okay. All right.
So Saturday the 23rd at 9.
Okay, guys, say to everybody. Saturday the 23rd at 9 o'clock. This is how it's going to work. And this is the best way I think. This guy here is going to email all of you with the details. Alex is going to help you teach that. Okay? Alex, you have to get this guy's details. Don't flake.
Yeah.
I'm shooting in the face if you flake. Okay. Sorry, I'm friendly, really. Fucking kill you. Okay. Guys, there you go. That's all. That's a free training I had. Obviously, it's not going to be one-on-one. It's going to be Alex. Alex, the way I'm going to tell you all so you know how it's going to work. Alex, stay in one session and send them out, give them feedback as they go, yeah, the whole night, yeah? All right, guys, there you go, it's a free training course, we'll put that together for you. That's done for these guys so you can see this, yeah? So, that helps. That'll be started.
What about as far as the daily habits?
Okay, daily habits, the best thing is practice for half an hour every day, actually talking to girls. I suggest you go out on your own and make it happen. 15 minutes in a coffee shop in the morning, 15 minutes in a coffee shop at night, count. Go to a bookshop for half an hour, whichever. Half hour a day is going to be good for a beginner, so get out there and get going. Maybe only do 5 days a week, take 2 days off to chill out. Whatever. Cool. Any more questions?
Yeah, I got a question.
Go for it. You soon. You first.
Okay. I guess my question to you is, when you were learning game, what was your, like, number one biggest obstacle that you had to overcome?
The biggest obstacle I had to overcome was I didn't smile. I didn't smile because I had really bad English teeth. And I got braces, which cost me £7,000 to fix my teeth so that I would be okay smiling. And that was the biggest obstacle and how I overcame it. And no one teaches you that at all. I learned everything myself. Everything. Like, that's why most of my shit doesn't look like anyone else's. I created and made almost everything myself. There are a few things I still but not much. You can say.
How do you maintain such an impressive energy level?
Okay, this is a trick. Okay,
question.
How do I maintain my energy level? Impressive energy level. Okay. Most people only see me when I'm demoing on film or standing up doing live events. Both situations need me to be high energy. They also see me on boot camps when I'm teaching, where I have to maintain. Our boot camps typically, I don't know if you guys know, our boot camps have between 16 to 20 students. We have a lot of students. We have a lot of instructors. So I'm usually managing 20 to 24 people at a time. I have to keep high energy for that. So that's the equivalent of saying when you're at work, if you work in sales, hello there, nice to meet you, you have to be, yeah? So that's just when I'm at work. My personal game, some of my students saw this weekend when I was like doing a couple of little demos. He's gone already, unfortunately. My personal game is very low energy. Very low energy. When I'm talking to a chick, I'm much more likely to be like, hey, let me ask you a question. Out of everybody you've met, and that's my game. It's slow, it's quiet, it's deliberate. So a lot better. On film, it's being loud because it has to be good for TV. But my personal game is very low and quiet. It's very, very dead. Cool. Anyone else? Yo.
Yeah, I find, you know, I can practice game and it works, you know, the same game works a lot of the time, but it doesn't work. The big difference is it works when she's a 7 or a 6, and it doesn't work so great when she's a 9.
Okay. No, this is actually a very good point. I'm going to suggest to you that either your game has a lot of either directness to it, or, Negs, am I right in that?
Maybe directness.
Okay, here's the problem with directness. We teach them on the bootcamp, but, and what works on my bootcamp, it's validated what I'm saying, right? I'm breaking in a bootcamp, right? When you go direct, you are essentially letting the girl know you're attracted to her. At that point, you are asking her to give you feedback on what she thinks of you. The minute she knows you're hitting on her, she's going to analyze you based on who you are at that moment. So, for example, if a girl knows me for 5 minutes and I go direct, she's going to basically let me know in 5 minutes what she thinks of me. Like, she's going to analyze me for 5 minutes. But I am a lot more interesting over 2 weeks. The more a girl knows me, the more I know I can hit them. So I want as much time. Now, this is a really good thing. Sorry, what's your name, sorry?
John.
John, right. So when I was out gaming, I did a study for you guys. I am not going to tell you how many girls I slept with, because I personally lost count. I lost count once I crossed a very high number, but I'm not really proud of it, but it was a lot. What I'm saying is this study is a very big study. I asked every single girl, at what point did you know we were going to have sex? They all said the same thing. Almost all of them said the same thing. When we were lying in bed, and I was only wearing my knickers, and my bra came off. And I would then say, so you're telling me that when you had your knickers and your bra on, you didn't think we were going to have sex? And they said, yeah. That is so massive. That advice helped me so much in my game. Because I knew I didn't want them to know I was in on them until that point. Anything up to that point, she may decide not to. Now, there were exceptions. If I could sense attraction before, I'd go directly and speed everything up. But until I knew there was attraction, I would always wait until that point before I let her know what's going on. Now, this is massive. How soon into an interaction do you think a girl knows when she's going to have sex with you? What would you have said? What's the typical thing in the community? What do they say?
7 hours
before she has sex with you. Most people say within 30 seconds she knows if she's going to have sex with you. It's not true. Within 30 seconds she knows if she's not going to have sex with you. So she will look at you within 30 seconds and say, I will not sleep with that man. You're fucked. But she hasn't, not in a good way, but she hasn't decided she will have sex with you. She typically only decides she's going to have sex with you when she's in that naked state in your bed. So you have all of that time to convince her to do it. So I would suggest a very quick way, pull back direct, work on the two logistical angles until she's basically chasing you and she's going direct on you. Then you know it'll work every time. That would be a suggestion. If that didn't work, message me and we'll see what else we'll come up with. But that's why personal feedback's good, because I would want to see that first before I know. Alright guys, one more question I'm going to have to ask. Yo.
You obviously are influenced by a lot of non-game material.
Yes.
Resources for that?
Very good question. Okay. Cialdini's book, Influence, great book. The Evolution of the School and Human Language, something like that, I forget the actual name, by Robin Dunbar. Any psychology book based on operant conditioning or classical conditioning, if you want to be really nasty and use horrible game. I know that stuff, I don't teach it. I've got a whole method of game called Dark Side Game, and I only teach like my top instructors. It's really evil. Dark Side Game, it's horrible. But I'm not going to teach that now. They're good. Anything on the social sciences based on propaganda, great stuff. Stanley Milgram, anything he did, awesome. You could check out, is it the Yale Experiment or the... But there's anything into compliance and obedience, so great.
Compliance and obedience?
Compliance and obedience. Any psychology studies on those would be perfect.
So speaking of little things from different places.
How to Win Friends and Influence People is a killer. That's a great book. Other good ones. There's one on infidelity, I forget the name of it. It's like a proper hardcore psychology book, and it's based on like... It talks a lot about the biological nature of attraction, which is really fascinating. And then Talent is Overrated, that practice. That's a good book. That's about it. Cool. Guys, thank you ever so much for having me. It's been a I come to New York every 8 weeks, without a doubt. And everywhere I go, I've always told everybody, I am more than happy to do a free talk. I enjoy doing them. I love coming down and doing talks. If these guys are willing to have me back, I'm more than happy to do this. Next time in New York, time after, time after, time after, whatever it takes. So guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.